Why do we also request that this fine afternoon with all the people with the department today? Because, you know, we're getting used to seeing a lot of cases, and I'm not sure the role of everyone that is.
That's alright. I think the teacher will attend to that as people speak and continue to introduce themselves and looking at them understanding the school. I'd say, hello.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. I'm just want to introduce Ndu Shabani, my colleague, who is the DG for Rural Development, former Rural Development. He has been, he has come back and the FNDG and has gone back to a position. And I think the rest will introduce themselves, they come from the province. I don't know whether Chair, for the sake of time, they will do that as they talk or they can do it now. It's your approach.
They talk, but I was affording time to yourself in particular.
Sure.
To give you freely my opening words and then you can.
So what we have one of the members is the presentation on the oversight visit and take the terms of agriculture and rural development and also then the finance which will include commercialization. Those are the presentations for today. And I think according to the agenda, we are going to start here with the oversight visit and take the term and think for now we will start with the of agriculture. And we have consolidated the presentation that the presentation will be done individually as the former department because the projects were done that way before. So accountability will follow that line, Chair, if you wish. So at this stage, Chair, I will release my colleague here, the HOT, to take over with the presentation.
That were raised at the briefing session that we had in Richards Bay before the committee visited the project. And then the second part of the presentation that talks about the responses to the questions and the recommendations made by the committee when they visited the last project. In terms of the outline of the presentation, I'd like just to highlight, honorable members, that under Section 2 of the district, that project, which was the inlet of Center Field Feedback, will not be in this presentation because I think that project was done by Rural Development, so it will be reported on by Rural Development. On slide 3, then start answering the questions that were raised by the Portfolio Committee during the second session. On the first question related to the issue of the dropout of the extension officers when they are supposed to upgrade their participation. And the question was, what kind of intervention are there to deal with 165 dropouts of the extension officers and how much money has been lost because of that? Honorable members, our response is that the funders were implementing a battle program and that in 2005, when the Commission of the Department approved the number of standards, it stipulated that agricultural advisors need to be a minimum of a BSc in agricultural degree or a BTEC. So then the officers that did not have this particular qualification then afforded the opportunity to register and upgrade their qualification. Some of the employees that were being upgraded did not finish their qualification. Mainly some of the employees who were being upgraded were approaching retirement age, and when they did not then make it through, some of them were not willing to try again when they got another chance. Those who did not finish their qualifications were then referred to human resources to institute the recovery of those fees. Question 2 and question 3 will be answered by Rural Development, so that's why we have now question 4, which relates to the Department of the Province. On monitoring evaluation and effective management system, are we compliant with the laws of the Republic? Honorable members, I would like to confirm that yes, we are compliant. The department has an approved policy for funding of this project. Each project is subject to a pre-programming exercise, and these projects are reported to the quarterly basis. They are reported to the quarterly basis, and that monitoring and evaluation does take place to ensure they are punished. Furthermore, on the implementation of this project, our engineers issue payment certificates after being certified as compliant to the specification and the quality of the work performed. We do also have an internal control unit, even though the capacity is quite limited in that unit, that also assists us in terms of ensuring that we deliver on the ground and eventually deliver on the business. Section 5 related to the competitive and the competitive advantage of KZN that we have in terms of agriculture. We have varied natural resources, especially climate capability, which is suitable for a wide range of agricultural commodities. The majority of the provincial landscape is suitable for livestock production, which supports many livelihoods, especially in rural areas. Although with the challenges due to global competitiveness, the sugarcane farming is prevalent in the province, with a number of sugarcane mills which complete the whole sugarcane value chain. Subtropical fruits, which is the growing subsector, especially in the coastal northern part of KwaZulu-Natal, is also an advantage for KZN. Furthermore, among the several provinces with the harbour, KZN is uniquely positioned as an export and import innovation for agricultural commodities. Honorable members, here I want to indicate that there is quite a significant challenge in terms of the sugarcane industry, and as a province, there is MECs that have been tasked with assisting the industry, and that program is led by the MEC for Economic Development in the province of KwaZulu-Natal to assist the sugarcane industry. The last presentation has been made to the Commission Executive Council in terms of what is to be done to assist the industry. Question 6, what is the provincial contribution to GDP? This will then enable us to assess whether the department is investing adequately. The sector is contributing 4% to the national GDP. It is among the top 3 provinces with significant contribution to the national agricultural gross value added, owing to its position as an export destination for agricultural commodities. Question 7 is for rural development. Then we go to question 8. Who and what is the support given to the sugarcane farmers, especially small farmers? The department has an MOU with the South African Sugar Association, which is the organization that supports sugarcane development. Under this MOU, the department has signed a 5-year SLA where 33 agricultural advisors from the department have been assigned to 6 sugarcane specialists from the South African Research Institute to render extension and advisory services to small-scale and large-scale sugarcane growers. The department is also paying 50% of the cost of the sugarcane specialists. Further, during the drought season, the department supplied small-scale growers with fertilizer for ration management and has further assisted in the implementation of the state cane development for small-scale growers. The department also supported land reform to Gabon farmers with 36.5 million worth of fertilizer in March 2019. Question 11, related to the issue of the deviations around CAP. The CAP program has been implemented under Schedule 4 of the Division of Revenue Act, which was changed as a general purpose grant, and it has recently moved to Schedule 5, which is now treated as a special purpose grant. Under Schedule 4, the province was able to change from one project to another if there were challenges experienced. Under Schedule 5, the ARC has to write to the National Department to request even a minor change from the plan, and the changes cannot be implemented without approval being granted by the National Department. I think this was enforced to then improve oversight of the National Department, but sometimes it might have unintended consequences of delaying the change from one project to the other and their challenges. Question 14, what does the Farming Handbook cover? The Farming Handbook is an agricultural guide on best farming practices which covers different aspects of farming methods for best commodities. For example, it will tell a farmer when to plant maize in hot or cold climatic areas of the province and how to prepare them for planting a seed planter application. Where they are getting some of the questions is the same answer that the question relates to rural development. Question 20. What is the involvement of the private sector regarding the upskilling of the extension officers? The department implements through the National Conditional Grant Fellowship Program, which is delivered in partnership with the private sector. The department has a partnership agreement with the sugarcane industry where, as I've alluded to, 33 agricultural advisors have been assigned to work with the six sugarcane specialists. The department also has an MOU with SAMAC and the SA Wool Growers Association, who are skilled extension officers in the macadamia production and sheep farming and wool production, respectively. Furthermore, the department, we are in the process of engaging in partnership with the SABS to improve on issues of quality of production by the smallholder farmers and the perishable product export control board for improved access to export markets. Next question related to what offers are there to compensate farmers. The province has got two agricultural colleges. One is in Mbangeni, the Owen Stone Agricultural College, and then one is in Peter Maxbeck, the Zidara Agricultural College. The department offers accredited training and non-accredited skills development training courses to farmers with specific skills to give to smallholder producers. Every year, the department issues out a green book document which applies the schedule of short courses offered by the department throughout the year. Furthermore, both Pedara and Oscar College have a PT unit which offer other training courses. Question 24. The issue of the assistance that is given to farmers and communal livestock. The department noted the concern that was raised. However, there are over 449 agricultural advisors, including 90 veterinary service officials who render essential services and related assistance to farmers throughout the province. Furthermore, the department provides services to over 2,053 big tents. The department on a daily basis runs an infrastructure rehabilitation program, which includes, amongst other big tents. In the current financial year, 2020, at least 75 infrastructure projects are earmarked for rehabilitation. Are there any forms of incentives to attract young people to join the agricultural sector? The department, in partnership with the National Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, runs a two-year work placement program for unemployed agricultural graduates, mainly benefiting young people. To this end, 123 graduates benefited from the department's graduate placement program and are placed across the different districts in the province. Furthermore, the department approved an agricultural development funding policy in 2018, which promotes the development of designated groups, which includes youth. Through the policy, there are special provisions and additional grant allocations for agricultural expenses managed by the ministry. What qualifications are offered by the agricultural colleges? It's the NQF Level 6 diplomas in agriculture for both plant, animal production, and agro-processing. There are also four agricultural schools in the province which feed to the two colleges, namely it's Western, the James Norman Renulundi, Charlotte Crawl, and the Five-Head Land Board. The amount of the 117 million that was spent in Makatin was before and is in terms of security. Currently in Makatin there are 312 individual farmers benefiting from the scheme, which constitutes 206 males, 106 females and 22 youths. The scheme has active 10 cooperatives with 786 members constituted by 195 male members, 591 female members and 93 youths. Through the operation of the scheme, over 5,000 people are receiving direct employment, over 90,000 tons of farm produce produced, generating a revenue of over 100 million. Furthermore, there are other up and downstream industries such as cane cutting, loading, transport, mechanical and welding, vegetable workers, and vendors that have been benefiting from this scheme. Now we then move to the visit by the committee to the various projects in the province. The first one that was visited was Zulumopin. The key challenge on this one was obviously the lack of access to foreign markets and the high cost of electricity. The committee recommended that the department to draw up a turnaround strategy to fix all the challenges raised by the project beneficiaries. We have established a task team, which consists of the province and the relevant departments, to convene in the first week of October to engage the beneficiaries to then address some of the challenges that they raise. The department is investing 1.5 million in 19 points to assist with irrigation maintenance and further provide mechanization support. The second recommendation, in terms of the crisis list, the committee advised that the department consult the state office to support documentation regarding the utilization of land by farmers of Ndumo. The cooperative, supported by the department, to engage for Lama Trust Board, the approach will be discussed at the meeting planned with the beneficiaries in October 2018. Alternative sources of energy, because electricity and the diesel seem to be too expensive, the department has commissioned a team of engineers to investigate the use of solar as an alternative energy source. The report is expected in December 2019. Continuing on to Move B, the committee recommended that to align the produce with the quality standards that is required by the market, and the training that are needed for those quality standards must be then advanced to the beneficiaries. The department is in the process of entering into an MOU with the FNBS in terms of then assisting with the quality standards. The committee felt that the market challenge should not be an excuse, since there are various markets which include in the neighboring countries and also within the province. So farmers were encouraged to engage countries other than focusing only on South African markets. Ambassadors of the countries should be contacted to secure markets in other countries. But the department also not for the financial economy in the Commission of Product Export Control Board to assist agents in the farm market. The second project that was visited was the coastal cashew. As a department, we are contributing 3.6 million, and the rural development also has contributed some money to this particular project. The project beneficiaries own 80% of the shares, and the partner holds 20% of the shares. And then the average yield per hectare is 300 tons. In the previous harvest season, production averaged 60 tons per hectare. Through government intervention in the form of production input provision, the yield then increased to 100 tons per hectare. There were a number of challenges that were highlighted for coastal cashews. For example, the lack of capital for farm operations, the inability to pay full salaries for management, and then also the fact that after the ITC pulled up, then they ended up with their cash flow. In terms of this particular project, the committee recommended that meetings should be held to update beneficiaries on the progress in the farm. And then the project members noted the recommendations and that would assist in convening the meeting. Involvement of youth is compulsory in the project, and also upgrading the farm up to the level that should assist in service training of students. The project members noted the recommendation. Meeting is scheduled for the 12th of September to develop a training program in partnership with project members for implementation in the project. Still on coastal cashews, the committee recommended that government intervention is required on the issue of the farm paying the annual fee of 30,000 to Ngonyama Trust. The matter will be discussed in the meeting with the beneficiaries, and then that will invite Ngonyama Trust Board at the next meeting to be held in October. The development of the business plan that should cater for all project requirements, and then since the project is unique and it's of a large scale, the addressing of job creation in the area, it should be treated as a priority project by both national and provincial governments. Comprehensive business plan will be prepared and finalized by December to secure funding for improvements through the development financial institutions in the province. The next project was Amandu Kutuwa, which is the Hildor project. The portfolio committee recommended that DAS must engage the mine and discuss the matter regarding the continuation of the project, and that the department should form part of the discussions pertaining to the proposed area of development project, including the mine development. a meeting with the farmers was scheduled for the 12th of September, including the coach and reflections following the visit. The community development officer of the Eastern Element has been engaged in the meeting for October 2019. That will then raise the issue of being involved in community development with the relevant structures and cost of the particular project. Project implementation should be initiated on site 2 since the site is big enough and is far from the prospective planning operation. The business plan has been prepared and will be presented this week to the District Project Steering Committee and then on next week to the Provincial Project Steering Committee. And by the Swanee Community Trust, the Mbanusoni Community Trust Farm, the next two slides basically talk about the background of this project. I'm not too sure whether members would like to vote for that or should we go to the comment on this particular project. But basically the ADA, the department has received a lot of funding from the department, both in terms of agriculture, and the government and other departments. And the total that has been invested in that project is about 37 million. The production activities undertaken include the citrus establishment, vegetables and grains. The infrastructure development included the purchase of farm equipment and machinery, irrigation infrastructure, construction of a warehouse for citrus. The other enterprises such as grain and vegetables have not performed and actually collapsed to a greater extent. From the 1819 stock projections and state of the farm at the time, the estimated requirement number of the project was then around 10 million, mainly for capital expenditure, which are maintenance costs and the operation of the project. The next slide then just indicates what has been done since 2010 as investments into this particular project. The revitalization of the vegetable irrigation system, the establishment of essential oils, infrastructural development, the grain vegetable production, and so on. Also, in slide 26, we still continue with the various funds that have been extended to this particular project, totaling the 37 million that I alluded to. The challenges with this particular project is that the institutional arrangement of the project since inception has been a challenge. There is poor project governance, and there is lack of project and business management skills. And then the issue of the efficient use of financial resources is an issue. The farm business, we are saying that if we have to assist this particular business, the farm business needs to hire a professionally qualified and experienced manager for the citrus enterprise. The management of funds must be distinctly separate from other farm business activities and regular reporting be mandatory to that. Strict management and funding conditions be in place such that the beneficiaries, including the both of the area, will be prohibited from direct involvement with technical, financial, and day-to-day management of the business. Because I think this has been some of the challenges. Of the project has indicated that there seems to be corruption and quite unhappy with some of the things that have happened. In this regard, the forensic investigation has been commissioned for the Mbanusoni project following the allegations of corruption in the maladministration of the project fund. The forensic service provider has been appointed, and this will then be led by our business development agent. On slide 29, we then highlight what the terms of reference are for the scope of the forensic investigation to try and cover some of the issues that have been raised by the beneficiary and some of the issues that we have also picked up as a department. On slide 30, we then say, after the visit of the portfolio committee and just trying to see how we can assist and resuscitate this particular project, at best, we think that an investment of 2 million might be what is required, but as a department at this particular point, we don't necessarily have this type of money and not budget for it. But these are some of the issues that we think are quite critical if we have to revise that particular project. There's an ESCOM outstanding bill, and then there's also the issue of paying ESCOM for the next 8 months, the electric cable that used to be there but then was vandalized and stolen. Chemicals for the trees and then the fertilizer for the trees amounted to about 2 million. The Darkstart primary cooperative, the challenges with that one is that the cooperative manages to produce more than 500 tons of maize per season, but the lack of the storage facilities compels the cooperative to sell all its grain with low prices. In dealing with the challenge, all grain producers within our cooperative perform a secondary co-op in the post-harvest challenges. The department has made the following interventions for this particular property. We have provided mechanization equipment. We have provided budget to cover their operational costs. We have provided production input, the fencing of crops, and the extension of agricultural services. But within the current financial year, we support the project with a bed of fertilizer for 50 hectares. The other zone trading is dealing with the local municipality, is copying livestock with the reduction of the pasture. And as a department, we have done mechanization, we've provided the cattle, and we've also given water tanks. There's no equipment for trailer making, and there's not enough other land for cropping production, and the area is too dry. In terms of the questions that were raised, the farmer, Mr. Zuma, complained about our houses on the farm. The farmer requested assistance to the cattle, trailer maker, machine, and renovation of the reservoirs. The farmer also requested assistance to plant the elements for his stock. As a department, we will assist the farm in putting funding for roofing of the houses. We have prepared a business plan which will be represented to the relevant structures for consideration of funding in 2020-2021. The farm will be supported through the mechanization services. Among the local community structures, there are social issues where there's a shortage of this and there's a shortage of water in the dam. The activity is about maize production, timber production, sugarcane, and other questions that were raised on the visit. The correct land use section was questioned following three community commodities, that is the maize, the kiwi, and the community garden being farmed. That would then commission a natural resources assessment between the landscape, the village, and the residential schools. The one farmer raised the concern of the dam being dry and affecting the community garden. The request memo for the school of the dam has been submitted and submitted. That's in the middle of the municipality, and the project is currently not functional. The arable lands are not fenced, there's lack of skills in the agricultural production, lack of electricity and reliable drinking water. The discussion that we raised from this particular building, the farmers requested fencing for grazing camps and for their arable lands. The farmers requested mechanization support and agricultural input. The farmers requested a deep tank and vaccine. The portfolio committee members suggested that the beneficiaries should be provided with training.
Mama, you can write that down quickly. I need to give you
another one. The plan to source funding for fencing is developed and presented for possible funding in 2021. The farmers will be supported with the mechanization services, including the supply of maize, seed, and fertilizer for 10 hectares. An assessment for a deep tank is potentially kept in October, and vaccine will be supplied to the farmers. The crop production training will be provided in November 2019. Furthermore, training on record keeping and vaccination programs will be shared.
Thank you. But unfortunately, that during our oversight, we were not left out. And the committee tried level best to engage with your kind office. But to no avail, requested the minister to assist in locating the whereabouts. That also didn't mean anyone. We therefore, honorable members, there's a presentation put for you by the Marshal, the acting HOP.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning. Intervention that you said is already in place in support of the sugarcane industry. What is the extent of that intervention? What does it intend to cover? Because there are some farmers that also raised that there's a certain levy that they are unable to get when they take their produce to the market because they do not own the land. not sure if you are also looking into that. Other issue that was raised today was the use of the rail transport, transporting the produce to the mill. Are you also looking at
this? Excuse me, one other comment. It seems this presentation, there are two of them. I have the tale from the department. We were dealing with Mamoshe's agriculture. And in your input, you've been saying some of the gaps will be responded to by rural development. And the presentation on rural development also raised.
Yes, Chair. Both from the rural development, then from and then Games Commission, and there are overlaps.
There are overlaps. Honorable members, in that regard, can I propose that we take all these presentations and then use them? Because the other presentation there, according to the program, is on blended finance model. It would be good to just take the presentation in their totality, then we engage in discussion. Thank you. My apologies. So let's take the answers of the rural development. Honorable members that came after the introduction, this is former DG, but back into the position, Ubawumtu Shaba, who is the DG of Rural Development. This is the guy who just raised your hand for Shaba. So the member came down. Thank you. Was to get the farmer on their way chamber that is they are operating. And there was an expectation that with the profit they make, they would then reinvest in the business and fund the rest of their own business plan. So it was not a total funding of their own business plan. And of course, there would be other areas that would not have been funded by the department, and possibly the farmer would not have reinvested, and which some of those areas were the bone of contention during the business. But going directly now to the presentation, we start with Green Island Farm, which was visited. And of course, one of the issues there that was raised was the high electricity tariffs, which I think was raised in most farms and most projects. And I think it is the farmer's responsibility, but of course we support to our the department for the farmer to consider replacing Eskom energy with probably renewable energy lines, or reducing the cost of running mostly with their pump that get them into trouble with high electricity costs. Again, on the same farm, there was an issue of diversification from sugar. As we probably know, the sugar industry is in deep trouble with the decline due to various reasons, and many farmers are considering diversification into macadamia, and we are saying we will assist the farmer and of course give them the permission to change use of the land depending on the business plan which will be produced by agriculture to verify the viability of such diversification and change of use of the land. Still on Green Island, the issue was the dilapidating irrigation infrastructure, the irrigation systems. We are saying the replacement will be necessary, especially with center pivots, include center pivots. We will be in discussion with the farmer to consider such support for the change of the irrigation system to center pivots. They reported the theft and vandalism. We are saying, as the committee suggested, perhaps they should form a policing forum in the area so that they all, as farmers, are able to safeguard their assets from the problem they have of theft. Option two, purchase the farm. This was a question that came from the farmer. If they have this option, indeed, policy allows for this option. The farmer is at liberty to exercise that option and apply to the department to purchase the farm that they are leasing from the department and enter into such a contract. Water shortages. We, together with water, the department will facilitate and liaise with the Department of Water to explore the possibilities of drawing the water from the neighboring stream. And we saw that there was a river nearby as well. So those possibilities will be explored. Implementation of 100% recap into the farm. As I think I said when I started my presentation, we would need to assess this to see if we need to go back to the farm. But the issue for us is that the demand is huge out there. There are many farmers that are expecting and waiting for us to come to them, and our resources are limited. It might not be ideal to be going back to the same farms all the time. As I said, the support was on the basis that we set a farmer on their path, and we expect that they will reinvest and also look for other sources of funding, such as tax funding. But of course, this issue has been raised, so we will be going back to the farm and assessing if we do need to go back. Then there was Boardman's Farm, and there was the issue of the payment for the lease, and I think it was raised in other farms as well. The issue in there is that most of the farmers that we visited were sugarcane farmers, as we said, and many of them are not affording
were not affording to pay rent up. There was a time where the department considered what to do with those farmers who were unable to pay. And the department could not write off their debts, even though they had a report and they had been told to stop paying. But the department still remained with the obligation in terms of the PFMA to collect. And that is why a credit control process was put in place. And they reported to the honorable member that they were receiving letters and phone calls and SMS. Because we are obligated in terms of the PFMA to collect rental from farmers that are using our farms. So that was the issue. Still on Portland, the firm has challenges accepting resources from financial institutions. We are suggesting that the firm must look at other sources, but we are also funding some of the commodity organizations that are supporting them. For instance, this farmer mainly does sugarcane, and we are in the process of assessing support to sugarcane farmers through the commodity organization under SASA, which is called SASA. And we are trying to find means to support them. Then we have asked if he had a succession plan. We honorable members who were part of this visit will remember that he had his son with him when we visited the farm, and that is succession plan which he gave explained to the honorable members that he has brought his son to work with him. There's also a development plan for staff housing that needs to be funded, and we will be looking at that together with the farmer, because as we said, we have already funded this project, but I think the window is still open to see if there are other elements of the business plan that we as a department can still go back and fund, especially the infrastructure on the farm, because the farm remains the property of the state. So if we are funding it, we are not necessarily funding it for you, but for the state, we are maintaining the state property. Again, the issue of high theft, I think the response would be similar as we have alluded before, that they need to organize themselves as farmers to make sure that they have a farm watch sort of organization to secure their properties. And there was a suggestion, of course, about undocumented persons and other elements that need to be looked at in that area. There was a report that the farm is predominantly under sandy soil, and irrigation is provided, however, water availability is a limitation. The issue of diversification was also explored here, and the farmer did mention that he was applying to the department to explore the issue of farming, and I think they had started something in terms of planting macadamia, although they had not informed the department. We do not have a problem with that. I think with the record of agriculture and confirming the viability of such diversification, it would not be a problem to approve that the farmer diversifies. The next issue is the price of sugar is gradually on the decrease while production cost on the increase. Again, it talks to the issue of diversification. The farm assessment will be conducted, consider macadamia, but also consider vegetables under hydroponics, taking into account the issues of the soil. And we will then consider funding those such diversification where appropriate. Next issue, talk to the same thing. Permission to plant macadamia, I've addressed that. It is viable. We would not have a problem with approving the planting of macadamia. Cable theft is the issue of security again. We have spoken to it.
this is the same issue as on the other problem, the issue of payment for lease agreement. I have addressed that on the other project. We are indeed obligated as the department to collect whatever the circumstances. Of course, we can use all the economic conditions that the farmers present to us to probably say to Treasury, can we give these farmers a holiday or can we give them a discount or whatever solution we can give them. But without such permission from the National Treasury, we are under obligation to collect Treasury. I think the colleagues from agriculture did cover us on coastal cashews. Again, here they are talking about these premiums create a burden to the project. The colleagues from agriculture did say that they planned meeting to consult with the farmers and to talk to Ingonyama Trust to discuss the same issue. A need for a three-year skill transfer program. Coastal cashews will be appointing a young graduate from the local community as their junior manager, and that's the solution that came up. The project has a business plan detailing a turnaround strategy estimated at R4.5 million. The challenge is that support is provided by different departments that have comprehensive cover of all production. Agriculture and Land Reform will support the project. Develop a comprehensive business plan and a general strategy for sustainable development to be supported in the next financial year. Also, the committee recommended that the beneficiary process be closely monitored, ensure that all parties involved in the project do get benefits of the project. We are currently facilitating confirmation of all beneficiaries. Confirmation of the beneficiation process by all parties involved in the project is being facilitated. So the office or the department is currently in the process of conducting that confirmation. A clear succession plan to be developed. We are in discussion in the project to incorporate young people into their part of an evolving process. Again, it's the issue of ESCOM on their exorbitant bills, and the same planning is underway now to support the project including exorbitant ESCOM bills, also exploring, as I said, the other project issues of solar energy, not really expensive in terms of putting in the infrastructure. This is the next project, Bitcoin Plain Trading. This is a farm that is abandoned currently, but we have gone through the developmental processes to approve LSE. There is currently an approved LSE who has not yet taken occupation because there are other processes that we need to go through as a department before the LSE takes occupation. We are, however, in the interim, entering into a caretaker agreement with the approved LSE until we finish those processes that lead to the signing of the actual lease. The next issue was about the project's joint bank account being a business account. We have indeed confirmed through a letter from Standard Bank that the account is a business account. There was also an issue which is, I think, is a general issue of the criteria used by the District Beneficiary Selection Committee to select potential LSE. There is an approved term of reference, approved throughout the department, that is used to guide the District Beneficiary Selection List and the Provincial Committee in conducting their selection of qualifying this, so that document is submitted and is available. Unauthorized use of grant funding and unlawful removal of project assets from the farm by plain trading that matter is being dealt with through our legal services, so that we are able to take legal necessary legal action against that entity which was on the farm and abused funding that had been granted to them, and they removed the assets. The farmhouse needs to be renovated so that the farmer can be able to utilize it. We are currently in discussion within the department to make sure that not just on this project but on others where we are experiencing we are experiencing deterioration of immovable assets on the farm, to ensure that they are maintained. The problem previously was that Richard did not necessarily allow us to really renovate houses and all of those kind of infrastructure, but it allowed us to focus on production infrastructure. So currently we have a new policy, the land development policy, which will allow us to do this, and we are just working through the process. The farmer needs to be assisted with the slasher for breeding. This is Jaguar's only now. This is what we are looking at. We prioritize within our allocated budget within the province to make sure that we are able to assist the farmer with this slasher. The goats and calves are killed by jackals. The farmer complained a lot about a lot of jackals in the area, and we are talking to them, we are wildlife, who are the customers in our wildlife area, to probably provide a solution on how to deal with this issue. And then on Lamogoshi, I think our colleagues from agriculture also covered this area, but we cover what pertains to our office. The community raised a matter that there were households that were relocated from another farm to join them. The beneficiary list on this issue does show that those households which are alleged to have been moved were actually beneficiaries before even the farm was allocated to these people. So they are genuine beneficiaries, and they are on our destination memorandum and on our beneficiary list, not as if they are new. But of course, we always find complaints on farms that people who had historically, maybe two families were working on that farm and happened to be occupiers of farm dwellers, do not want the department to benefit other people who are destitute for land, and they just want the farm to be allocated to them only. So that's a common problem we are experiencing with occupiers and farm dwellers. Chairperson Mr. Zulu mentioned that they have arable land that they used to plow, but due to northern wind, they don't plant anymore. The community will be prioritized for support between the two, within the department in the next financial year. We might look at what we have in the current financial year. We have been discussing with the agriculture part of the department. And Liberty Farmers, quiet the farmers, we are discussing the trust for the acceptance. This project has also received funding, but we are saying because of this, they are doing good work, the department would be amenable to assisting them acquire those trucks for the cattle in the next financial year. Farmer does not have a lease agreement. We are in the process of concluding that lease agreement, currently going through our approval structure between province and national. Zuga Nawe, the farm was supported recapitalization and development to the tune of 5.9 million, but it is currently underutilized. The department will be looking at this project again to asking what are the problems and providing the necessary support. If there is indeed more support beyond the 5.9 that is needed there, so that assessment will happen together with our agriculture colleagues. The farm is burnt out. Of course, there's an issue of fire breaks, which is the responsibility of the LSC, responsibility of the LSC, and we are dealing with that together with the LSC. There's no electricity to operate the farm, and the LSC cannot afford the service that we want the farm has pivot irrigation to be utilized. The proposed solution is the farm will be rallied to land development support. The solution that will be catered within the budget. Yeah, so we are looking at supporting them in terms of reconnecting the electricity. But as I've said, these are some of the things we are in pain to express because we have already put a lot of resources in this one, but the farmers just cannot farm. So a proper assessment needs to happen to see if we have the right job for the horse. The fence was stolen. They want the fence to be reinstalled. That should be part of the assessment. Farmhouse leaks when the rain is part of the assessment and possible support that should be considered. The next one is Westleaf, which is a 50-50 farm. The issue there was mainly around the training of the beneficiaries. And we are saying we will be assisting the beneficiaries with the training so that they get accredited training. Of course, the training will be cross-cutting management and also production training. There was a question on the clarification of the position and further involvement of NEF to the project and the 5% shareholding. The department is currently considering or reviewing the involvement of NEF. As we know, this program has been suspended by the department and all elements to which are being reviewed or reconsidered. The MRCAS in the trust must introduce the succession plan. The trust needs to identify and put youth in running the project to be trained with the future, ensuring future sustainability. That should be the trust. Now we are on Westwood. Westwood, the community raised of the connecting dam. And then the proposed solution is about checking to water affairs, but also the department together with our provincial counterpart looking at how we can support this project to make sure that their model is secured using our engineering services. The community raised the need for potato washer. As we did explain, the potato washer was part of the business plan, but because of the high cost of the other services that we supported with, the potato washer could no longer be accommodated. We are in discussion with the Agriculture Development Agency as represented by my colleague Nathan Bella to make sure that they buy that machine for the project. The community indicated they are not satisfied with the service of agency of Sherwood Farms, which is the company contracted. The intervention is that we put pressure on the company to finish the job which is contracted. The next area is the area of what is known as the firehead watts 5 and 7 graph to be precise. I will not go through the whole thing. Safe to say that the first area we visited was the crash and it was dilapidated. We are just saying that was an intervention, a once-off, which we did. And handed over to the entity that had requested us to construct a crash. But as a solution is that we will go back and look at
constructing a more permanent structure for that community in terms of that question. I think there are other areas here where other projects which were also intervention in terms of the construction of the houses that have been blown away by the storm, which we briefed the honorable members on, but as we said, these are things that were done very early, around 2010, and most of them have dilapidated or have collapsed, and so there wasn't really much further engagement with that. I'll go quickly through to my peers. The colleagues from DAF did cover it extensively, and I skip the slides and talk to the background. The main issue for us that we wanted to address was the market. The colleagues did cover a bit of the market, but we must also say that from our side, we are in talks with the SANDF. They have a base in the area, and we are in talks with them for them to order their supplies, particularly vegetables, from this FPSU. There is also a program in Natal called Rasset, which main supplies food feeding nutrition that project did. They had problems previously, and it was not functional, but it is now being revived. There was an advertisement in the newspaper recently calling on all farmers that want to register on the database, and so they will continue to source their supplies, fresh produce, from Rasset as well. So those are the areas that we are looking at for marketing. But also NAMC is limiting most of our FPSU and facilitating market access for all those farmers that are based on those FPSU. Then there was the issue of training. We are dealing with that through the Coastal TVET in KZN to train the members of the various co-ops. The other issue is of the transportation that they complained about. We are in the process of procuring a truck for them as part of the FPSU plan. It has already been offered. So it's just a supply chain management issue. Mechanization, we have already provided a lot of tractors there. DAF has provided tractors. Our office has provided three tractors, agriculture too. There's also an NGO that has provided one. And so we think for the area they have currently that they are farming, they have enough mechanization. Of course, going forward, because FPSU, we are now on the fifth year, we're a 10-year project. If there's a need for further support, that should be looked at. The next area was the Makatini flat. I will also summarize this one. We will not go through each slide. This is a farm that was originally 105,386 hectares. The remaining extent is now 93,588 hectares after the portion one, which is 11,798 hectares, was restored to claimants. There are two claims that were settled by the commission: the Ntenga Bagata claim restored to the Ntenga Trust, and then the claim restored to the Sibwane Trust. There are a couple of villages around, but the main issue there is that this was state land that has a lot of infrastructure that belong to the Department of Provincial Agriculture. And they have UGD there, offices, a lot of infrastructure. When it was restored to this game, the game is not fully restored, but what has been restored included some of the infrastructure that the department is utilizing, but included a block which is known as a commercial block, which was leased to farmers. The issue mainly for North Kachan is that the farmers that were there, that were leasing, are now fighting with the new owners, which are the trusts, because these new owners now want the farmers to enter into leases with them, because the
that the new owner of the farm. And so they are complaining that they were not considered when the claim was submitted. We have done a lot of interventions, firstly, to facilitate that these farmers should, in fact, enter into this business of the trust as the new owners in law.
To be controlled on
and some of, thank you, Chair. And some of the farmers have signed the business, some are still resisting, but we are also negotiating with the trust that perhaps they bring back the, what we call the commercial block, where they are infrastructure that is compatible. And the trust are not very amenable to the transition, but we are still in talks with them. Of course, we have to probably compensate them for that. So we are suggesting to them either compensating them through alternative land or financial compensation. So mainly those are the issues there. We have summarized that. Yeah, that was the last issue. I think the last slide just talked to tell you more about that. There are people who want this, and of course we are in the process of concluding 30 and this is just the policy of the department. Some of them, those that are on state land, which is not part of the trust, that one is easier. We have 30 and this is with them. I think those are the issues, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob. You made mention of the Claims Commission.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. Part of Mr. Ndawini's report, the last part at least, that deals with Makatini Flex, and the land claim does deal with the land claim. But my colleague, Walter Laule, who is the Director of Operations in the Commission, can fill in terms of specific responses to the questions of the committee.
Where about of advocating
Chairperson, Mr. Billy couldn't make it here. I had inquired with the Chief Land Claims Commissioner why he was not coming. I was given that he was preparing for the unveiling of his late father, which is this coming weekend. That's the reason why he's not here. Thank you.
Human process.
Thank you, Chairperson. Jim Ndawini has covered Zinde and Zwane. Consider and then about Makatina and the intervention plan which we are currently working on as a department. The only one that I will add, Chair, is about the transport one, Naman Molosi.
You may introduce yourself.
I'm Walter Slaule standing in for advocate Behim Bailey from the commission in KZN. There were three questions that we needed to answer as far as Amangolosi, which is in transport, is concerned. The first one was to explain the discrepancy between the 8,000 hectares referred to in presentation by the commission and the 13,200 hectares that we alleged was restored to the community. Indeed, Chairperson, the correct extent was restored to Amangolosi is 13,200 hectares. What was omitted in the calculation of hectares restored to this community is the land that was acquired from Mondi, and that was an oversight on our part. It is important to note that the total amount that was used to acquire was 139,887,250 rand. It is inclusive of the omitted 5,200 hectares that were acquired from Mondi. So we did not include that one, but the hectares are 13,000 and the amount is 139 million. The second one, Chair, was how much money was spent in acquiring land that is owned by Mondi. Under Mondi, we acquired that land together with the timber, 85,987,250. And then the last one, is there any grant funding that was given to this community? Yes, we gave them grants of 4,609,215. Those grants at that time, they were approved by the minister. They used to be called special training grants and RGG, which is restitution discretional grant to the community. So we did give them that 4 million, which was transferred by Ishala, and they visualized it. Thank you.
Honorable members, there is a group of recommendations pertaining to the oversight. We had in KwaZulu-Natal questions that arose from your engagement with the department in terms of agriculture, rural development, as well as the issues of the land commission. We may now engage in questions of clarity, and if we can be mindful of time, because we also have another presentation that we will be engaging on blended finance that should start promptly at 11 o'clock. So be precise and straight to the point. Honorable Mondre.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just quickly, because I think that was double learnings only. I think they required a bailer, not a slasher. There was a new slasher there, but there was no bailer for them to be able to bail their center. And still on double learnings only. I want to raise the issue on GBH, Chair. That there was one project, I think it was in Udu, if I'm correct, where initially it was planted to fair in that project. And there are two new pillars that are sitting there in that project. And with the department changed the plan of the initial plan in that project. The pillars, there are planters, there are many implements that are sitting there that are not necessarily used for vegetable production. Why is it difficult for you to take some of those and give to other projects that need them? For example, the Jabulani Zondi, because they need the baler. There are two new balers sitting in that project today. Another thing, Chair, is on the sugarcane industry. I don't want us to have only one reason and say we must diversify this diversification, because we run a risk of failing to transform the sugar industry. I can tell you from where I'm sitting that the diversification thereof would in the main affect black farmers. And it's an industry where there's been serious complaints that there is a need for transformation. What is it that the department can do before using the drop in the price and say they must diversify from sugarcane to macadamia? Are you saying you must surrender this industry because there's an act that says it prohibits new, it affects black entrants? Are we indirectly going to be supporting that the black entrants actually this time around would not be prohibited to enter because of an act, but because of a price factor, the black farmer must actually move from there and do macadamia now. So it's a serious challenge to me, Chair, that that factor must be transformed. There's an issue that was raised of the rail transporting system, where only white farmers are able to utilize that. And black farmers are having to pay a lot of money for them transporting their produce to the mill. I think that high cost also in terms of black farmers transporting their produce to the market can also be a factor that makes them lose money. And then we say the dropping price. It may not be that significant. Sugarcane is mostly planted today. And those that are planting it, why do they continue planting it? especially white farmers. Why? Is it because they're able to transport their produce through rail, which works out cheaper than having to transport it through the trucks and so on? Why can't we also, can we also look into that? Also the issue of Eskom, I think it was raised there, no, Transnet. That a farmer must have a certain, must have a guarantee, certain amount in the bank for Transnet to be able to allow farmers to use that. What have you done as a department in ensuring that we deal with that issue, Chair? So the lastly on that issue of sugarcane, Chair, let us not be happy and say diversification, diversification. Let us look deeper into it, because we will actually end up moving all black farmers who are actually participating in that particular project. Now, we're also diversifying to macadamia nuts. The macadamia nuts that you don't make income in a month. You don't plant them, the next thing you harvest within a month, you get money. There's a project that you as a department have failed in KZN, and it's that project of Empangisui. You went into that project. I got it when the presentation was done by the acting, the HOD there, scope of Empangisui. And we knew, when the project started that for a certain number of years, they will not be able to harvest and carry the operational cost. And that project, because they are able to carry whatever operations in the farm, it is dead. Now, even on your recovery, on assisting the project, you are not covering the issue of salaries, which remain, I think you raised three or four issues there, that you're going to assist the movies and this and that. I did not see, maybe it's my mistake, but I did not see where you made mention of salaries for those people that are going to be working there, and making sure that they put the necessary change that is needed there. And I'm happy that you are going to do a forensic investigation there. There's this animal called what development agent? What is it? AGA. This agriculture development agent. The project in Mpangiseni, they made it very clear that there was this and this. I still have my note here from Mpangiseni, almost 2 pages. That was raised by the chief there. You still have what AIDA. You are going to do a forensic audit in a particular project. What is the status in terms of the relation between the department and AIDA? Because AIDA is the cause of the problem in that project. Is the main cause of the problem in that project. What posture have you taken as a department toward that AIDA? Because they are the cause of the problems in that project. And not only there. Now, Chair, the other issue that I want to raise is on...
Honorable Moderator, may I request you to conclude your questions?
Oh.
If we are mindful of time, I think we should restrain every member to 3 minutes.
Okay.
So that we can be able to...
I have 3 minutes.
Yes, but just conclude.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Now, two last projects. There's the Zuzanawe Agriculture project. You know, we spend government money, and as soon as government money is wasted, it's as if we don't care to check what happened. We are just saying, let's bring more money to the project. That project in Zuzanawe, there was a mentor. They went there, you appointed a mentor who knew nothing about planting. A person who went there and planted, spent 1.25 million planting yellow maize, if I'm correct, but the amount is 1.25 million. And nothing came out. Nothing there. And we're just saying, no, it's water under the bridge, let's give it, let's bring more money. What have you done to make sure that if it's about recovering the lost money from a mentor that you have appointed, a mentor that has said to you, he or she is capable, she knows crop production, only to find out that he knows nothing about crop production. What measures are in place? We must never look out, we must start looking inside and checking what is it that happened. Lastly, Chair, on my continuous engine, you were saying that you can't continuously give projects going to the same project, given the mine. But that project, that project has been getting almost 597 million. But it was only from 2008 to date. Almost half a billion from 2007 to date. Why do you continue giving money to that project? A project that went and installed an irrigation system, and only at the time of testing, they are saying there's a problem of network. The whole money spent on new irrigation system had to then be changed. A project that you seconded, somebody who earns close to a DDG to go and support that project, and yet we still have got such things happening in projects. That Makatini flat, Chair, I think we've not had enough time to discuss that, but that project, Chair, I think this discussing, now personally, I don't think it must still continue to reflect on the funding from departments going forward. Because we just drop in money there, money wasted without anything happening. We can't fund a project for 10 years, for almost half a billion thus far, and nothing, Chair. They can't even spend on their own.
Honorable Sindana. Thank you, Chair. With the 3 minutes that I have, I'll pose that question.
And I will give you the remaining minutes. No, I think the first question was very clear when it comes to the issues of the 155 dropout. And I can see the explanation, but I'm still not getting a sense as to how much of the measure of that, and how much the but we're not getting a sense in terms of the response. We're getting an explanation of what is going to happen. If there are cost implications, how much was involved within that process where we were losing people? We just want to follow the money because we are putting money. Therefore, it's very important to follow if the money is internalized, if it's lost, how do we recover it? With the very same question we have when we want to recover from the farmer, we want to support. Very same question we must have to recover from those who are not using on the land contract. But on page 19, on page 19, there was a meeting that was scheduled for the 12th of September. I'm sure you are aware of some of your presentation. So the meeting that was scheduled on the 12th of September, that is knowing if that meeting took place, given the fact that in part of your presentation, you explained that you are using experienced workers in the issues of SARA. And also investing in the youth, that is an indication here as part of your presentation. It's quite important because you need to start building experience now, given the fact that we are losing what we already have. And then lastly, Chair, on the second presentation, page 5, around the issues of the lease agreement. How do you plan on clarifying this thing? You say in terms of your turnaround strategy, you say branch LRB to clarify the matter with ALHA and then issue a communique to the farmers. How do you plan on clarifying it? What is the proposal? Because already the farmers have been suffocated. You know, when I was listening to this presentation, it's easy to get a sense that as much as there is support given to emerging or black farmers, but most of the money that is actually making in terms of profit is the money that is going back either to the state or either going to ESCOM or either going to whatever company. But there is no sense of developing, there is no sense of growth. There is, I want to help you on the left hand side, and then I want to take on the right hand side. This is the type of arrangement it is for us. Just clarify to you that. What is the way forward in terms of that issue? Thank you.
Thank you. Without visitor, of course, it was a call.
Thank you, Chair. I don't have much to raise on protected. I couldn't catch some of the one thing to check is I have a concern about the record of the farm that was owned by the Tuni family, where the equipment as well as the tractor is sort of very overgrown of grass the limits around. You know, if one looks at the way that farmers have run. Seemingly it shows it was part of a department to sort of spend on that with no sort of a good reward. Looking at the side of the building around there and the challenge that the family had, is a lot to the question, Chair. Secondly, on the Jablan Zondi, or Jabla Zondi, but my concerns are that Simigi Department is only mentioning that engaged KZN as elder on the issue of the Jacobs. My understanding, Jefferson, when we were there, was that there is a private game farm around there, which actually has been there for years. The previous commercial farmer who was there did not have the challenge of the Jacobs and destroying the livestock. Why all of a sudden, then when we have that African farmer leading the farm, then he has the challenge of the Jacobs? This, Jefferson, I'm not saying it in that fashion, but I'm trying to say that here. That farmer needs to be engaged on the matter of properly fencing his slip farm, because obviously it shows the jackals slip out of the park. So there are no big rivers around there which we could say that maybe the fences are up on that section. Lastly, the issue of Mbani. So Chairperson, I still maintain, really on that Mbani, so Chairperson, if I were having much powers to do. That environmental project needs to be investigated, entire investigation. Because, you know, previously when the truck gave the access to the farm, the leader there was posting about having everything in there. All of a sudden now when we were there, we were told there was a track of a minor sort of manufacture, which was not suited for being used in the farm. Definitely, Jefferson, something needs to be different. Previously, there was a successful production. All of a sudden, it's only a shed where the spring came. Nothing more. Looks like the potatoes were rotting in time when they were delivered, and a small amount of it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, that was it. Honorable Priya.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll be quick, maybe just to link on to what Uncle Kumani said, is I'm worried about the Department of Agriculture KZN not giving us land value. I also do not see what is the impact of, we went on oversight, we made suggestions, they have now given us proposals on how they are going to assist those farmers, yet we don't know what the impact is on their current budget. The second presenter from Rural Development mentioned how they will be shifting funds within the department and within their budget to actually make it work. But I do not get a clear sense of that, and that's worrying me, and maybe the department can speak to that. Also to add on, among them, Kutuku and the coastal cashews were supposed to have meetings on the 12th. That was last week, Thursday. So what was the general outcome from that? Is there, what was said there, what decisions were taken there, to take it forward to the meeting of October, which they are planning to have a lot of input in. I would like to see that. Then maybe just to speak of specifically the gentleman from Rural Development said, we have a problem with farmers that cannot farm, and we continue going back to old farms to assist them and to have more money there. And I remember in our last interaction last week, we spoke about the criteria of how we are actually envisioning and helping farmers. But how are we to date ensuring that the farmers that come to this department and that ask for financing are able to farm? Do we just look at their business plan, or do we ensure that they are actual farmers or can help farmers? And then maybe to link on to what Honourable Mkwete said as well, and I believe Honourable Sain will add to that, Makatini Flats worries me. It really does worry me, specifically with the amount of money, specifically speaking to this entity and this entity are linking, and then we are taking this way, and we've got this implementing agent, which is Magenti Farms, and it worries me. I come from the Free State, so I know implementing agents, and I sit there with a great worry, and Honourable Mkwete in front will, she comes from the Free State, I think she shares my sentiments. what is the mandate of ABA? And is that the only entity? I got the sense during the oversight that we had a number of other oversight mechanisms or entities there. And speaking about even if I'm not sure that they were answered, a lot of the railway systems went on with them, Sweaty and I agree, bringing our oversight together most of the systems today. A lot said it's only accessible to the white farmers. And that is worrying, because why is it only accessible the railways to transport produce? Because we're not free in 1994, so I would really just like to find out, have we investigated that and what is the reason? Because we need to change that. Jefferson in the back might be research. Thank you.
I didn't know you were a fortune teller. I really should treat my part. You know what honorable thing was saying. Honorable Masipa,
thank you, Chair. I'm going to leave most of my questions to Honorable Hussein, because I wasn't part of the oversight visit. I think I'll give 3 minutes of mine, 6 minutes.
No, Honorable Masipa. The privilege is not transferable. I'm still the chair, so I allocated your privilege. You didn't utilize. You should learn best from the house, I would say. Honorable Say.
Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, yes, I'm not worried about Nakatini. I'm worried about Kaidene. And I wanted to start with repeating what I said last year with the acting that was here, and now that we have a DG here. Are you aware that the Public Audit Amendment Act now has people personally held accountable for fraud and corruption? Because that's the sense that I got in Canada, and I'm not going to miss my word. There's something seriously wrong there, not only in Makatini, but every project that we've been doing. I want to start off to say that the one, and I can't remember the name, and I actually don't care about the name of the project, the one with the secret. They are under another group that's called Ituma Agricultural Agency. It's what happens when you Google Ituma. It's got a telephone number. It says project, I'm not saying there's something wrong, but my gut tells me. And if I can pick it up in 30 seconds, why are you not picking it up? And my partner for the part of today, Jefferson. I want to know, this project that was done is great, we're going to do this, we're going to visit them, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. How many of these projects did you visit yourself personally? Before you had out 3 million rand, 6 million rand, 2 million rand, 5 million rand, 7 million rand. In fact, in the last year, since 2004, 16 billion rand has been handed out by the department chief just on recap, not recap, not even recap. 1 billion has been handed out in 2009 on recap. Give me the list. Give me the list. That this committee, chief, I'm talking about this. If you look at the list for land, what's it called? Land, care. I think you'll see, don't give me the list of land care, give me one. I'm going to send the fact to the board and give me one recap project that was successful in Kaiserin. Because the ones that we visited is not successful. And I just want to know that you're now going to give a bailout to this one and do that to that one. I want to know, what are you going to do to make sure that the farmers become successful? And I'm also tired of being told that the farmers can't farm. The farmers can farm. You will find many here and then, but not all farmers. I agree with that. But what is the department doing to help them? Where is the leases? Where is the title? And I'm interested. I'm very
interested
that you said that titles can be given. What is not that you give titles to a farmer to untie their hands? Jefferson, what is the role of ADA? And how many projects are they involved?
thank you. On that note, we move on to Honorable Mashati.
Thank you very much, Chair. Firstly, Chair, I would like the committee to note the presentation made, the first presentation that was presented, precisely because most of the issues that were presented were for the court during our presentation when we intervened. Now, I just wanted to note it today, and then dig into the last I think you would understand why I would raise that particular question, because the issue was not there. So maybe most, hopefully, the issue was that you would have noted that most of the issues were presented there, that I presented into this house today. Secondly, Chair, I can't remember the name of the gentleman who presented in second, but there's a statement that he made that we can't go back to the project that we have funded. Apologies, Chair. The question is, you might have funded projects, but they might not have been successful. Because some of the challenges that we have met in KZN, it was not successful because the farmers themselves. It could have been some of the challenges was present that we foresaw there. We saw that it was precisely because the department did not do its part. Now, we need to have a comprehensive analysis in terms of all the projects that we have gone through, check where we have gone wrong, see where we are going to intervene as a department. It can't be a holistic approach in terms of we're not going to go there because we have managed. No, I don't agree with that approach. Second, teacher, digging into the programs themselves, the coastal cashew. When we were there, there was a clear indication that the coastal cashew, in terms of its own operations, there were no young people. Now, part of the responses that we get from this particular document indicates that there's one graduate who's going to be appointed as a junior manager. I don't think that is enough. We indicated that there need to be a transfer of skill, a generational epoch of some sort, so that the current generation that is there, as it leaves that particular institution or that particular farm, there are young people who are coming through to take over. Two, Chair, the Green Island. The department in its response says there's an issue about exploration to extract water from the neighboring stream because there was an issue about water in that particular farm. But the department is not saying anything. Is this a responsible department? What is this going to happen? There's no clarity. Spitcorp. I think Spitcorp is where we went with the widow. Whether there was an issue about the widow. Chair, those who were there know how fuming we were around that particular issue. I think the responses that I hear, they do not speak to the issues that we presented there. As I conclude, West Food Project, Chair, that was the only successful project. Okay, 80%, I would say, that's where I could say that there is some work done here in Canada with this West Food Project. I suppose it is in relation to the potato. It's the very last project that we went through. Now, Chair, critical to that project is the water. Not even the washer, not the filter. I don't know whether our loans are different from what the department has done, but the motive, I'm not sure. Because there are even things that we were not necessarily critical to what we are raising there. Chair, I'm concluding. All that was true. The project is operating with water from the dam. The dam, that is not necessarily part of the farm. The issue is, if it could rain today,
it must be consistent.
The dam will actually
from the question. To me, it's important that we provide us that to me it seems this should not be the end of it. It should be a way that there is constant or concluding follow-up to these questions, because most of them, something will be done, but there's no indication that therefore the committee will know the answer. And there are issues which I think they somehow disappeared, like the one we had an issue where we had a concern of on a very long lease, 20 years, which I'm sure that the farmer is not going to live for 20 years. It seems it means he's going to change other people to produce that. And we also had that issue where the board seems to be alone in the business sector as well. But now on the land affairs issue, my worry is that your responses, they are there, but to me, all of them seem to be vague. And it would assist me if all of them are concretized. If you say you are going to assist, what will assist, no one knows. There's some way you say it is be done depending on the finding of the department. Now, this department, I know this is the most department that applies to me. There's no skill that cannot take this department. You cannot say depending, because when you make a phone call, tell them coordinates, they'll tell you that on this part of the land, it is this that happened. So it worries me when it is depending on the finding this department. And somewhere you say you are going to explore and clarify, those terms are worrying to me, because all these things, they can't be scientifically practicalized or kind of thing. When they are vague, they don't assist us. And there was one farm where there were CPAs also. It disappeared. Because in that area, I remember even the members could not even answer questions the way they were disappointed. Where the school was on the other side of the mountain. But there was serious problem in those. Otherwise, Chair, my last question would be, especially on the land affairs, what is it that you feel it must improve, or it has been done not correct?
For Honorable Marco.
Greetings to all the officials. My input will be to support the honorable matters they have spoken about the first report, the first presentation. We support the role of the report, but concentrating the acting HOP, that next time on the other, we need to be looking on site so that we can be able to repeat. That we've been doing now. Let me go to the second presentation, Chair. My biggest worry in this presentation, as much as the Chair does present, is the portfolio of evidence. On the column of the portfolio of evidence, they say nothing at all, N-A. Even if they say it is at the beginning. I'm going to express myself on the issue where Mr. Mudaweni. It's page 3, Chairperson. He mentioned somewhere there that they don't want to go back to the farmers, the same farmers all the time. Now I'm asking myself, if this person is being assisted by the department and good things are not giving any results, at the end of the day we are saying we're not going back there. What are we creating in that farm? They are creating depression. They are creating them not to stand up anymore. The government should tell us what they do when they see the farmer is not coming up. We need to have something on the portfolio of evidence, which tells us so that we can do. The second input will be on page 5. Chairperson, I'm saying to the department, I think somehow here on this page, you need to understand your obligations, and the farmer also must be able to have the obligation in terms of communication with regard to the lease. I think it will be important for these people to be taken on board. The other one is on page 5, Kamu Marawayona, Chairperson. They're talking about SAF. They say there is a training which will take place, but what I'm saying is that on the portfolio of evidence, there is nothing that is telling us.
this document is going to be in our archive as parliament. So how do we then tell other people what is going to happen? Lastly, again, there is this issue on page 7 which talks about the farmer and the department looking into the farmer that is belongs to the state. It doesn't tell me, yes, I'm completely clear, but that it doesn't tell me that there is any MOU between yourself and the farmer where in all of us we must make sure that the farmer is maintained accordingly. So we need to have something at the end there to make sure that the farmer is looked after. Chairperson, thank you very much, but let's tell the department to say the frame, the time frame for each and everything that they send in this presentation. It will be more important if some of the things are just even wide open.
Chair, we heard in KZN about the verbal announcement of the former Minister of Rural Development and Multiple. The officials are saying it was a verbal. During our discussion, more than 3 farmers have stopped paying their rent, their rental and installment teaching. How many are doing that? I think, Chair, I would like to propose to the department to do a follow-up on that, because in the presentation it states that there are legal measures that are taken. Those are our black farmers. They take each and every word said by us as the authority. We need to do a follow-up on that and come up with measures that will assist them, because I could just imagine how much they are owing now if they are not producing anything that is making profit. Secondly, Chair, DG seemingly knew that I would say so that because that is the only problem that I went and visited and stopped the project. One, the issue of mentors. In my view, it's not working. I don't know why the department has mentors, especially those farms that are not assisting them. They are just paying 15,000 rand up to 60,000 rand to mentors that do not have the best interest of the emerging farmer. Most of those farmers that have mentors are failing. Another issue, Chair, that I want to raise is the issue of the Fayette, Ward 5 and Ward 7. Ward 5 and Ward 7 are the projects, the RDP projects. Comprehensive Rural Development Project. I don't know, Chair, whether I'm having something generally understanding you why the officials are not taking that project seriously. Seemingly we are just putting in money and leave. Those are projects that talk to the community and the well-being of the community in rural development, so that they can have activity. Ward 5, there's a crash. In your presentation, it says, Dabudawene, that you have taken up the commitment that within 2 years, you will address the issue of a crash. The conditions of those kids, there, now, it cannot wait, not even 3 months. To me, Chair, it is unacceptable of that 2 years time frame. It's too long. That is, lastly, Chair, just one last 30 seconds, Chair. DG, in Mbangweni, there is a forensic investigation there. We need time frame, and not only in Mbangweni, Chair, I would quickly slip in there, Chair, that
thank
also
you.
The
Honourable
must be investigated.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Chairperson was very motivated
some of us in the last week, and I don't know beyond the issue of time. So my observations included and that the profiles were received didn't speak any truth of what people included in. The department left no receiving evaluation of the project on their funding and even their support programs. Mentorship inconsistencies that has been pointed to even on some of the strategic partners. Others are injecting money into projects, others are just strategic partners because they are strategic partners. Training of farmers, we couldn't get anything tangible except where in the last project, the dairy farm, where people were adequately trained or whatever. The only farmers that are surviving there, those are the ones that have got experience of what they are doing. This is, they need your attention, I think, HOD, as pointed out for other members, including the needs of community lending from Ingwenyama Trust. Issues with the budget on those. I don't know what will this department do with this provincial department, more issues in technical support. We don't have extension officers on the ground, we don't have project officers, Dr. Diela, former Dr. Diela. So those are the observations. My observations on this presentation is that there's no commitment from the department. Everything we're going to develop business plan. The role of oversight is to make interventions and guide the department where technical and financial support is needed. Now, when you go to projects that are existing and you're still going again to develop business plans, I think you get a revenue that you want to do. So there's no commitment on this, whatever. Check your Green Island, who we work at 500 responsibility to the farmer, 3 million responsibility to the farmer. The farmer that doesn't have anything. So it doesn't overwhelm with me. Specific features, coastal cashews need 4.5 million, they will be sorted. That's a dairy project, it's a diversity visitor thing that we went. They just need 2.3 million to buy a pasteurizing machine. They'll be sorted, we'll be out of them. They need veterinary service vessels. Their cattle are in bad shape. And that visit is the city will cost about 5,000. I'm not going to talk about there's no future there. And like we said, let the project go to the second site. Pitcock. I want the department to respond to us, Chair, on the displaced community about Pitcock that we found in Zamakosha. They said they don't know these other Kuzoyos, but all of them are Kuzoyos also. They are staying now in Zamakosha. And on the other hand, the department has got severe that they are taking and people there again. The Motulis are all these districts to that deep farm where I feel undeveloped. Chair, there's no CRDP. The department was going to benchmark CRDP so that they should be able to say to us, our CRDP, this is a CRDP project. We can agree with them. And Zamakosha, they are able to write better what we want to do. Put it under CRDP. You can't give 68 households, 17 in Guinea cattle and one truck. And I expect them to survive. Oh. If you didn't take a Tawi, or a very good Tawi, they would have died. So go and put our communities at ease. The very same CRDP, huge electrification and VIP toilets on that side from salt area. They need to be rectified. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, we were hoping to gain clarity and get commitment from the department on these issues, but it seems that we continue to engage DG. One of my major issues will reside around the Mbangiswe. Mbangiswene, Umamushe says the strict management and funding conditions be in place such that the beneficiaries, including Inkosi Zone, be prohibited from direct involvement with technical, financial, and day-to-day management of business.
And what are we doing?
In every project you visited, there's a financial accountant, there's a mentor. The beneficiary is a signatory together with the financial accountant. But remember, we say, let's get rid of this money. What's the department saying to the committee? But let me get to the real issues that emanated out of there. Unkosi Zondo says the department and its entities have squandered the money this year. So is this a cover-up when we say we must be top debitor? He says Umgoli and Kadel from Ada charge the money that were allocated to the project in front of officials of the department. And no one contested that. He goes further to say, hey, wait, I mean, you two, you're one of them. And Lutlamini was silent, never defended his position. He speaks of a branding and Masebo from the department. We will request DG the full names of these people, where they were employed, what year, and what investigations have been carried out as far as their concerns. We will request a full investigation from ADA and what its role is. Before we go and say the we must deal with the issues that the officials are facing. Because this is what we went on oversight for. So I would like to gain clarity on why we would focus on prohibiting the beneficiaries from direct involvement. This is their project. Oba Umthunu and Oba Uzonde, their project. The department, when they raise issues, gonna say, let's prohibit them from raising anything. That's what the department is communicating now to the committee in terms of approaching dealing with these issues. Bamda, when he says, no, you know, the department is maintaining these properties of government. It's our responsibility to maintain them. Yet, the Mthunus have no farm, they've just got land, no house to stay in. Then this is a property of government. Where the Zondis don't even stay in that farm. They stay 5 kilometers away. Because the lease you gave it is just on land for them. There's no roof, there's nothing. So what are we really expecting this farmer to do? Are we really looking to have, and this is why I would be inclined to asking the question that Honorable Stein raised, is there a successful project in KZN? Oba Mthunu says, I sign for the money, but the money in most cases are done electronically. And I am not competent in following electronic things. So how does that happen when a beneficiary must be a signature and yet funds are utilized on his behalf electronically and there's no accountability? I won't touch on this issue of white farmers and railway. I think it needs to be looked into it. It is quite a shocking experience. We went in Josini to a feedlot today that was standing, and there was a drought relief program which the department today has not even touched on. 203 million rand was spent on a drought relief program 2015, 2016, and a bit of 2017. We asked questions in terms of how these funds were utilized. no accountability whatsoever came out. So we were just accepted the committee that 203 million rand was used on drug release. No explanation DG in terms of, in 2015, so many cows died, and those that were rescued are so much, and the intervention entailed losing bales, pellets, water. How much losing, how much bales, how much pellets if they were, how much water. And those families that received intervention, what did they receive? So this is why the issue of monitoring and evaluation is accountability is really lacking in terms of the department. You receive money, you spend, but you feel there's no necessity to account for this. And we would like this issue on money spent on the drought relief to be attended to, and perhaps in time, DG, we will call for it as a separate item to be presented before the committee. But then we also, DG, have a problem with the sugar cane sector, where one of the farmers is having to now move from sugar cane and look at macadamia nuts. But my problem with this sugar plantation in KwaZulu-Natal is that black farmers are only coming in at the entrance, you know, standing in front of the farmers there. The name escapes of the two gentlemen that we see, Umatlengoza, if I'm correct. But there's a milling plant right in front of them. No one, nor the department, has the thinking of getting black farmers owning a milling plant so that they can be able also to participate at the higher end of the industry, which was in its totality producing sugar that they can't even get anywhere. They can't put on rail, they can't put anywhere. So you talk of the crop production in Jozini, which ends up with SANDF. They are saying, the farmers there, we can't even get any support from SANDF, nor from preschool or any childhood development center. They are very close to Mozambique and Swaziland. They are not doing anything to find other markets beyond what they right in front of them. They are supported there by Japan embassy, and some tools were provided and sponsored by the Japanese embassy, but we are not assisting them in looking for further markets internationally, whether it be Japan or China or Middle East or anywhere. So these things which don't seem to be finding room and space for having real success stories. But let me conclude, DG, on the issues of Land Claims Commission, which we actually asked for the department or the portfolio committee to be provided with documentation which will speak to the financial statements of the trust, the agreement between Amangolosi Trust and the Ituba Agriculture, the ownership structure of Ituba Agriculture versus the trust and its beneficiaries. Because we have a sense of feeling that you spent almost half a billion in Jozini Dam with the Mjindi irrigation. And the alarming thing you then get from the farmers there, there's no water here. How do you spend 500 million and then on the other hand you have a beneficiary, a farmer that says we don't have water? And there's a huge dam there. You see that there's supposed to be irrigation, but farmers, the message that came out of them, there's no water. How do you quantify that? In terms of the West Cliff, what is the rationale behind the projects that are being managed from the minister's office. The committee has found that the provincial officers were not fully informed about the Westcliff project, and that the FRR projects across the country are being managed from the minister's office. What is the role of the provincial office in this regard? And then when you come to look at the coastal cashew project, the community project seems to have placed have complained about the payment of lease fees on the land they own from traditional land. What is the attitude of the department about community projects paying leases? And particularly from the issue that has been raised by honorable members that verbally it was said, no, stop paying. Now, there seems to be issues about non-payment of these leases. I think, DG, I will end there in the issue of time. We will give you 15 minutes to respond to this issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. We have had the concerns that have been raised very, very sharply by the honourable members on what they envisage on the ground. But I also had, in specific cases, where the honourable members asking for detailed investigations, including forensic reports, on certain projects, such as Bambisweni, such as Mjindi, the questions around, I mean, the issue that has been raised now by the Chair, Bangalore, where there are certain agreements in place, but there's no access to financial statements and such issues. I've had almost very consistently the question around Transnet and the rail sliding in Makatini, where not all the farmers are having access. Primarily the white commercial farmers, I think specifically Mr. Charles Senegal, who is largely using, who has got an agreement with Transnet around that. I think there are specific issues that relate to our colleagues in the province, the acting HOD, specifically around ADA, their role, which is a provincial government entity, and I'm hoping that the acting HOD and my colleagues and the CEO will respond to that. Similarly, the investment in Mjindi, the bulk of the investment in the infrastructure in Makati Flat, the irrigation infrastructure, especially, it goes beyond the last 10 years. It's been going on almost for 100 years. So I'm hoping that my colleagues will help on that. And then I will come in on the very specific issues that we wish to take forward. And we appreciate the guidance. Maybe I should start with the HOD.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, and DG, thank you very much for the opportunity to respond, and let me appreciate the questions and the guidance of the committee. Maybe on the first issue of my unavailability when the committee was presented, and I'll table my apology here again. When the committee was in the province, we also had the Operation Sukuma Truck. So the Provincial Executive Council was then in contact on the Tuesday, the Wednesday, and the Thursday, and unfortunately I had that clash. So my severe apologies that I was not able to then go and visit all the projects with the committee. The first question related to the intervention in support of the sugarcane industry. With your permission, Honourable Chair, may I request that maybe a separate submission is made here, because in case at end, the support to the sugarcane industry in terms of the challenges that it's facing, as I alluded to, it is currently being, there's an interministerial committee
that is handling this issue. It is led by our Department of Economic Development, Tourism and Environmental Affairs. So the Department of Agriculture, we are participating, but that's the lead department. I would then request that maybe we do a separate submission to the committee in terms of what the province is doing to support the sugarcane industry. The continuous engagement in terms of how we then in the province assist that industry. On the issue of Mbali Swelling Trust, I accept the comments by the committee, and also given the issue of the funding that has gone to this, given the issue of the accusations both from the project beneficiaries, from Imposters only, from the staff and from everyone, my view is that the Etara Forensic investigation will have to start with the project. Because the more you get this story from that one and from that, you just never get to what actually happened. So my approach would be that doing a full forensic investigation into this particular project. There was also over and above what the project was put in here. There's quite a number of other funds that come from other various national departments to the same project. But we seem not to be coming to a stage where the project is self-sustaining. So a full forensic investigation is therefore warranted. On the issue of Fuji and the Makatini, the investments that we have made in that, I think that as a process, as part of the rationalization of the commercial public entity, as a department, we have looked at the role that Fuji is playing there, whether it's adding any value and whether we should continue supporting this particular education scheme to the extent that we are supporting them. And the commercial public council is then reviewing basically our position in terms of how much money still continues to go to Ujin, given the number of years what we are actually achieving with the investment that is going to Ujin. On the issue of the dropout, how much did we lose, how much was involved, I think that we can provide, because those that dropped out and not then finance their studies further, we are recovering the money that was spent, but I think that what we then need to do is to then go out and say, if so much has been recovered, so much is still outstanding, we are recovering through the officials that are still there. To my knowledge, none of the officials have actually retired without paying the cost of this money, but we can provide the rent value of how much we are collecting every month, how much is still outstanding on the officials that are being in the department for not completing that. On the meeting, the total for the 12th, the meeting for contact issues, it was scheduled to take place. However, due to poor attendance by the farmers, that meeting was then postponed to October. The meeting on Amanda meeting was taking place on the 1st of September, and then the next meeting will continue as planned in October. But one meeting didn't take place, the other one did take place. As I mentioned, by e-commerce, see what investigations have been done to date, and all of that information will then be provided to the committee in terms of all the official business, what I've mentioned and what their was on this particular. On the issue of saying that maybe we need a situation of the project if we are to continue to put money, there are indications that currently the management of the project is not up to scratch. So if we're to put in any money with the current management structure in place, we are likely to see the same outcome where funds are put on the ground and yet what then comes out of it is not what we anticipated. So that was in line with that if we're to continue putting money prior to finalizing the current investigation, obviously there has to be a different management structure to then make sure that there's proper accountability. However, we take guidance from the committee in terms of whether it's actually necessary that we even continue putting any money prior to the finalization of the current investigation. the issue of the access of certain pharmacy and then you can investigate that and then we'll get the report back to the committee. Yeah, I think those are the main issues for the commission to have this issue.
Thank you very much, Chair. Without attempting to address each and every one of the questions raised by the honorable member, quite clearly, the what the report said and what the members observed on the ground is a lack of alignment there. And I think we have both the DDGs in the department, and we hope to work with the secretariat of the committee to get that integration and to find what are those gaps and see what we can do in terms of addressing the issues where that are falling through the cracks between the observations of the members on the ground and what the department is reporting here. And hopefully we can get an integrated report together with our colleagues in the province as well, so that we give the members satisfaction that we have taken consequences. The issue of transformation of the sugar industry is a very, very big question. And it is true that you can't just talk about diversification without properly analyzing the full situation with regard to what is the current position of the small-scale farmers and the land reform farmers. The case of Makatini Flats is a big example where there is 120,000 tons of sugar cane that they have been producing, that are producing annually. They have been receiving a subsidy from one of the milling companies. But from next year onward, those farmers are no longer going to be receiving that transport subsidy because they deliver their sugar cane about 250 kilometers. And now if that subsidy falls away, something needs to be done urgently before the next planting season to make sure that even their sugar cane gets transported in the medium term through the rain, but in the long term, there should obviously be a sugar milling plant in Makatini because they're producing enough sugar cane of their own so that they are fully integrated into the value chain rather than just being only limited to the primary level of production. I'm happy that the committee has raised this particular issue of transformation of the sugar industry very sharply. The issue of releases and the related costs is a big issue. Chairperson, yes, it is true that the former minister did announce to the plus farmers that there would be a moratorium on them paying leases. But the department is, as Mr. Ndawene reported, is required in terms of treasury regulations and anybody else who is renting state property to pay rent. We have written in the past to National Treasury for a tax holiday for these farmers. For about 2 to 3 years, farmers were not paying rent. And the Treasury and the Auditor General gave us that leeway to say that let them not pay rent. But obviously, the type of the farms that we have bought, the kind of support that the farmers need in terms of working capital on an annual basis, remain to be a challenge. There are other challenges that the honorable members raised. Irrigation infrastructure where they farmers pay exorbitant electricity tariffs, and similarly the water that they are using, they are paying quite a lot of money, and this is not a problem limited to KZN, it is a big problem all over the country for the small scale farmers. And I think it does need a coordinated effort between these two departments, the Department of Energy and the other departments such as the Department of Transport, to see how we alleviate this the situation among our farmers. So I think we will take this back because the issues reported here on the division are internal departmental issues. We should be taking back these issues to the department with PDG Lover to see how we deal with the issue of the arrear payments of the lease rental. And the other issue is that, yes, Mr. Ndawene says there is an issue of over-capitalization of particular farms where the department keeps on going to one and the same farm and after the other. But I think the department can't just abruptly wake up and say, we're giving you too much money, we want to find somebody else. we do need to assess what is it that is making that particular farm unviable after having made so much money available. Is it the question of the shallowness of the soil, is the land we bought, which was not suitable from the West Coast, which we should not have bought in the first place, or is it some other thing? So that kind of assessment is going to be very, very, very important. The corruption and maladministration issue is a very real issue. It has been under the radar of the SIU. In this regard, both in 2010 and in 2011, we requested proclamation from the SIU to investigate all land reform projects across South Africa, including an SIU proclamation that we requested to investigate allegations of fraud, corruption, and maladministration in all restitution projects in South Africa. In the case of KwaZulu-Natal, you may be aware of eight officials that were dismissed, and only one of them is serving time in prison. But I do think that a lot more needs to be done to deal with this particular issue around the maladministration. Similarly with the commission, I'm only aware of only one official in KwaZulu-Natal that was arrested and subsequently was out. But I think these challenges are quite real. They are not any mirage. It's something that does need focused attention. On the beneficiary selection check, the department is currently reviewing the beneficiary selection policy to see whether we have been rigorous enough in selecting the people that we allocate farms to, so that before we blame them, we know we have given the farm to the right person. But I think also we need to also decide at the very beginning whether what kind of farm do we buy. Well, it doesn't matter how good the beneficiary is. If the farm can't sweat the capital we have invested in it, any other farmer will fail on that farm, and no amount of money will save that farm. On the plus farm, the department has done a comprehensive assessment of all plus farms. And I do think that the department needs to look at what is the viability of this farm. What is the viability of this farm? And then finally, I'm hoping, Chairperson, that with the amalgamation of these two departments, there's going to be better coordination, better monitoring, and better capacity going into the future.
Thank you, DG. Honorable members, I think we should just conclude at this juncture. Mbangiswen needs to be shelved so that we get a full investigated report on Mbangiswen. Then we will request that the department in about 6 months come and present what the findings have been on Mbangiswen. I'm just making a recommendation, honorable members, we can come back if we have an issue of time or if there's anything else to add. But we don't want to go into statement again. The drought relief issue that has been avoided by the department, DG defenses, to be also a standalone item to be presented in 6 months. The sugar industry and how we're going to transform the sugar industry, we would appreciate to get a plan from the department and input as to how we will be able to engage that. Again, we will put the issue time frame of 6 months time. The SIU report, we must know what are the findings of the SIU report nationally, and particularly in KwaZulu-Natal that we've done oversight of. Who are these eight members that we found wanting, and who is the one that is actually put behind bars? Because in my experience, DG, we have a tendency of finding people that squandered, let me make an example, of 100 million. Then the person is found out, and very rarely they are put behind bars through a proper, successful trial and prosecution and found in jail.
But this is the only aspect we speak of. The aspect that is lacking here is when this process was embarked on and this person was found out, ended up being suspended or ended up being put behind jail, how much of the 100 million was retrieved? We never touched that topic. So it seems that we've just given the 100 million, we've just caught them, they go to jail for a 5-year, 10-year sentence, they come back, they're still sitting with 80 million in the bank and they eat away that. We never get a real understanding of this. These are the funds that were squandered. This is what was found out. This is what was achieved. So we would like to gain an understanding in terms of the people that have been suspended, people, persons that was found to be prosecuted and put in jail. What were the actual charges? What have they committed in terms of fraud?
So the issue that we seem to have missed, honorable members, this is on Ngonyama Trust land. Farmers DG are saying they are unable to make profit due to the leases that they have to pay to Ngonyama Trust. So at some point we would like to gain an understanding, land that is leased by farmers to the department versus the land of Ngonyama Trust, so that we can gain an understanding, because some of the issues were not clear in the province and we had to repeatedly ask the beneficiary, who are you leasing from, the government or ITV, you know. So we would like to also gain an understanding of that. So if we may have this, we may have this report in 6 months' time. But you have also set targets on some of the issues that you have raised for yourself. We'll look into those targets and we will also write to the department to say that these are some of the commitments you made to the portfolio committee of this meeting. Can you come back to us in those issues that you also committed yourselves to? Have I covered everything, honorable members? Just input on the issues, because we now at 25 to 12, we still haven't had a presentation. Honorable Carpet.
Sure, just one. The displaced community of the top. In fact, as a committee, we recommended strongly that those community members be considered to be relocated back to their farm instead of leasing it out for the identified lessee in the CPR.
Thanks. Honorable Marta.
In addition to the issue of the Peace Corps, we are saying as much as the department will be reporting in 6 months' time, and we heard about the legal issues that are going on between the widow and the department. So we are saying the report should be given to us in 6 months' time as to whether what is going to happen or what happened. But like we wanted to also hear from the widow herself, General Mother, we want to know what is happening. We want to hear.
Honorable State, are you covered? Oh, okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Are we not going to get a full report on that, Chairperson? I think you mentioned that. And to just to also note for the DG and HRD to note, one of the issues that we raised is that when we get reports, it sounded like the program started yesterday. There's nothing about last year and another department, and I really, Chair, I find it very difficult to sit here and listen to, you know, we will institute an investigative report. I'm in charge, Chair.
Let me guide.
Yes, I'm just a bit frustrated.
To look into the Makatini issue.
I'm frustrated.
Yes, let us put an agenda item to also unpack the issues that happen in Makatini. Particularly in the irrigation and the farmers around there. Well, cover.
I know this is relevant. I just want to get in clarity whether this policy of an adult taken to land and then he or she fails and we say pay back the money. How user friendly is this development aspect?
Uh,
Okay. No, thanks, Walker. Honorable members, we will pack it at that. Oh, you... No. Please, you can speak.
Chairperson, we also take the role of ADA. That's the message that I need to report on.
Thank you. Ada, very problematic, but I thought I captured it when I spoke to a real report on embankment. So, honorable great was Ada to be listened to. Particularly when we have names of people from Ada that are implicated. I don't think we will support the notion put by Uma Mushel to prohibit the beneficiaries, their land, their projects, and they are going to be fully supported by government and the community. Department and the province must carry out their real investigation on these problems. DG Baumling and it's welcoming back to this meeting. We would like honorable members to move on to the presentation of blended finance model and its progress on the communication of the farmers. Keep it short, Gigi. 20 minutes, that's all we have.
The blended finance model is in a development stage, but developing a policy, a concept document for policy is presented to clusters and is presented to cabinet. What we have done yesterday, perhaps just to give a brief, people have seen the numbers as to why, what is the origin? The origin of blended finance came as a result of a major challenge that smallholder farmers had in accessing finance. When we came in, we noticed that this was a struggle. We then spoke with the land bank and agreed that they will give the loan, they will give the grant, and we will have the loan. And we put a scale as to how that will work. We have developed that policy, that we have developed a strategy around that, formed a committee, and that committee began to do assessment. What we found out immediately after they had done the approval, there were things that were not clear in the criteria for selecting appropriate applicants or successful applicants. They then, people from inside government and people from the department from land bank began to be the ones who were interested in this blended finance. And four of the approvals, or ten, about five or so of the approvals, were actually from inside. Once we realized that, and this is very important, once we realized that, we immediately suspended the blended finance. It was an attraction to all potential smallholder farmers, whoever were there. Everyone was just applying because of the grant and because of the loan that was coming from the land bank. And the scale that was proposed at that point in time was a ratio of 1:2. In other words, we will borrow 10 million, we will give a loan of 5 million, and then you will give a loan of 10 million. And that's how it was going to go. But then people from inside began to apply. And that created problems because we wanted people and farmers from, so to speak, from Timbuktu, in a village somewhere in Tankra, in a village somewhere in Toyango, this blended finance was about there. We then suspended it once they found it, and we took it back to Minas. The ministry asked a very fundamental question. Where is the policy that informs this so that it gets its funding? He said, then minister suggested, and we agreed that we are going to develop that policy. That is where we are with it now.
However, there were mines that were already with the lenders, about 172 million from agriculture, and about 52 million from the Department of Rural Development. Those funds are still with the lender. We then said to the, suggested to the minister that we are going to propose a short-term intervention to deal with the money that is there. We then agreed that we need to transform exactly the farms that were not being successful. In other words, there are these farms that have failed. There are these farmers who are struggling with those. We agreed with the minister that let's convince them then to take only those farmers. Now we are waiting from Rural Development to give us those farmers just to use the current amount of money that is there. So that one, we can increase the productivity of the leased farms that my colleague was just complaining about now and the honorable members were complaining about, that they have got money to actually make the leased farm productive. Instead of having everyone to stand up, applying, those who realize that
we're going to choose the chicots, we only have 20 minutes.
Actually, this is the conclusion, Chair. I don't do this presentation with me, because this is exactly what it's about. We are now at the point in which, one, we are using the funds that were there for the people who are different funds. Secondly, and more importantly, we are developing a concept policy. And that is going to go to government and go to cabinet. That is the state of the state.
Thank you, DG. Are you then proposing, DG, to the committee that these two presentations sent to us, honorable members have read, we will not be engaging?
I'm proposing that the first one on vendor finance basically is uncovered. Because I think the objective of the presentation, of that presentation, though it is for full detail, it's about just trying to look at progress. And progress is about politicians. And the status is that what monies are there, we are using them to improve this fund. That's where we are. But the key message is that we are doing policy. The other one is the commercialization of the farmers itself. That's where then say I think we need to move to the mission. So the first one I feel like done is done. But if Chair and the members would like to get more of those details, I can do that.
Thank you, DG. Honorable member, I have the input from the DG. We will bring it to yourself as to what you make of the presentation, and particularly the money that the DG speaks of. If I have correctly,
172 million from former agriculture, 150 from former rural development. Those money are the ones who are ring-fencing for use to increase the productivity of the leased farm. In other words, we specifically ring-fencing them so that it can ensure that the farmers who have leased are going to benefit more than any other person because they are suffering as a result.
Okay, maybe in terms of guiding this, because the brief is limited to still drafting policy on this matter. But yet, the monies you speak of don't seem to equate to what has been told here. in the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. No, this is a separate document. This one, which has been provided to the members, and it speaks of funds that were transferred to lenders for blended funding model, 100 million rand in 2018, 120 million during 2018-2019, and 417 million allocated for 2019-2020, which by extension it says that they have already been presented previously and I take this issue to have been in the fifth parliament because this is emanating out of the legacy reports that we received. So if we merely look at honorable members on just figures, it seems that we are beginning to speak past each other. And maybe let me bring it to yourselves as to what you regard to be a way forward on this matter of blended finance, since we are still finalizing it and passing policy on another good topic.
Okay,
let me
appreciate the presentation. Like the chair, you rightfully say, the policy is still being developed, but we acknowledge the work that has been done previously. And I know, chair, from this portfolio committee, we hinted, and I think that is a few consideration, that we would also want to meet Land Bank at some stage, that we agree with the department. So this is an ongoing process, ongoing work. And I'm also linking this chair because I know the DG talking to the other DG on what is coming out of rural development. I'm noting the recent engagement on the 262 farms, the leased farms that are being rolled out as part of support including blended finance, blended finance. To say, for now, Chair, I think we will not be able to address this one until we meet Land Bank, until they have done their policies, and we're noting for the 262 farms that they said previously to us, those are the farms that are underneath the restitution or whatever land acquisition farms that are being assisted. So for now, I think allow them to develop policy and check them like at the later stage on this one. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. Equally, I want to align myself with Honorable Kathy on the basis that the presentation is clear, there's only, as we speak now, there's only a policy that we have. But my issue, because our portfolio committee is about following the money. My issue is, given that in the document that we have, there's already this particular program has been budgeted for 2019-2020-2021 for the midterm MTF period. Now, as the presentation that was made last week, there was a clear indication on the topic that the assessment done by Land Bank will take something like 3 months for purposes of assisting farmers. Now, the question is, looking at the budget, it's not a response that I might get now. Maybe it's a new question that the department has not actually preempted. But looking at the budget that they have now, and the process of developing a policy, and the process of assessment by Land Bank in order to fund these particular farmers, will by the end of financial year, will they have spent the money? Or are we anticipating an under-expenditure in this particular program? Because if you look at the document that you were speaking about, the past two financial years, or there have been some serious under-expenditure by this particular department. To a large extent, 22% of the money, 22% of the budget that has not spent. What then is the plan moving forward? Because already we are in the middle of the, we are almost in the towards budget adjustment in October. So what then must then happen? What's going to happen? What's the plan that will enter?
Honourable Member, let us not be provoked by people's input. I'm not in the hands, and only four people raised their concerns. Honourable Trappe, Honourable Mahati, Honourable Steg, Honourable Mundwe. Now, Honourable Members, once I've passed them, I want to raise their. Please, we are short on time. So, Honourable Papa.
That is a very good chair. I just wanted to specifically support this idea of relying on the process of the policy of policy development, which may be some strengthened idea that is, these are the prospects of that policy is materializing for us to engage in the future.
Honourable
Thank you, Chair. I think people didn't understand because we were following the line in the court. But, Chairperson, I have to start off with what happened to the 1700 million rand. My concern, Chair, is fine that we're following the money. My biggest concern is whether farmers out there were told that they don't get land bank loans already. 2017-18 and this current year before we stop this process. How many of those farmers are there and what are we giving them, telling them, how are they going to go forward? Because one of the issues that I sit with is that we change names constantly. Decap is now also something else. When are we going to have a full blended finance policy? Because, Chair, I'm very concerned. From the previous term, we were told that funding like COSP and MAFISA and what and what and what and what, that was my impression all along, that all of that money, ECAP, COSP, MAFISA, what is going to be put into one pot, and that is going to be used to assist the farmers. Am I wrong? I'm literally wrong, but the fact of the matter is, we stumble along year by year, changing names of programs, doing things, but we don't have any single policy in place. So what happened to the 2017-18 funding? CARF funding was taken away from approved projects because CARF is also usually not 1 year. It's a 3 year program, so a farmer will know that next year is going to be next. Now we take that money away. Now we put something on the table again. We ask, we told certain farmers, you're going to get this finance, this is the thing. Now it's gone because the department doesn't have a policy in place. I also want to know if there's any link to the investigation, the SIU investigation, into cost funding towards the money that's now gone. Because, you know, again, something happened within the department and the officials. We don't know what. Last time we were told certain officials were involved, and that's why we had to change the policy. So can we just get clarity on that? And then, Chairperson, lastly, another program of the department which we haven't touched on, the 50-50 program, another name change of something, I hear this serious problem with that one, Chief.
Thank you, Honourable Steyn. Didn't see any hands on Honourable Mundwe. Honourable Mundwe.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just a quick one of interest. On the presentation, yes. I think, on the bottom there, there's agriculture, fisheries, forestry, land bank, rural development. Is land bank around? Or maybe the ladies from land bank? Not from land bank. So who's from land bank? So we can't come here and speak about a presentation where land bank logo is there and land bank is not here. The next thing they're going to say is know nothing about. So let's just agree that when this thing happens, land bank must be here. So that we know if land bank is still on board or not. Lastly, Chair, it's on the issue that the DG raised. I will not agree with the DG. We want to make our people to be dependent on grants or so. This issue, when you say you must prioritize struggling land for farms, think about it again. There are other farmers that are struggling.
that are not necessary, that is not necessarily acquired, they are farms through the land reform. And they are still having to pay for their rental of their farm. And somebody that has leased a farm, and somebody who has got a farm for free, gets to benefit before somebody who's paying a rent, maybe through a bank or the particular house. So please do rethink that. Because we are then saying you only assist those for startups, you only assist those that got the funds. So when you deal with the policy, don't rush spending the money. You must just tell us that no, we don't have a plan on spending the money. But you rush spending the money on land reform farms that your state department has went and supported and they are still failing. And there are farmers that want that money. So please do consider that. It must not just go to land reform farmers. There are other farmers that are not necessarily. That's what I wanted to say.
Thank you. Honorable members, the figures that I alluded to earlier have been presented by National Treasure during appropriation. Now, these funds seem to have found themselves in land bank. The department, the DG is clear that we're still in the process of drafting policy, and once this is signed off, cabinet will be able to proceed on matters. I think in terms of a way forward, honorable members, we should then focus on where the monies were allocated in land bank. Honorable Montoya is right when he picks up that there's a land bank logo here, but they are not in attendance. So we will request in terms of the committee from the secretariat to locate blended finance on land bank, so that they are able to come and present in terms of the figures. It seems that the figures go back as early as 2017 to date. And the total figure around that is sitting at 637 million, which seems the DG to only account and speak of agriculture forestry division. It doesn't touch on the money from rural development, what is put before. So it will be interesting to see if there's other funds that come directly from the rural development, as the figure has been put to have been about 150 million. We'll need to look at that. But I believe that it's a better that we should be then directed to land bank and request land bank to come and then present on this matter. Obviously, DG, we invite land bank here because it's an entity that accounts to the department, but now you deferring them to Treasury, we would like the department to be here as well. If they say they didn't receive the money, then we must look to the department as to what is the meaning of that and the implications of that. So we would like you to also look into the program and see what we locate. Honorable members, I think we have said let's conclude this matter of blended finance on that note. We will therefore, honorable members, deal with the limits of the 10th. Okay. Now then, before we rush into minutes, honorable members, I took it that this blended finance presentation was accompanied by the commercialization program, which is from the Department of Agriculture and Development. This presentation, honorable members, is someone available to take us through this one?
Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you.
And in specific, what was requested is the progress report on this topic.
Honourable Chairperson and honourable members, my name is Andy Maxwell Hall, DAG Food Security. With regard to the commercial program, as you are aware that it was launched in 2017. Part of the outcome of this discussion of, was the issue of blended finance and also other partnerships that had to be discussed in the community. As a department, we requested, also we requested the provinces to identify 450 farmers to be part of the commercialization process, which we're going to be dedicated and focus on that, while we're also looking at other funding like a trust fund. What is the point now? Talk to the issue that the policy had to be due to that the issue of the police came into being. Due to that the issue of the police was raised by the minister, we felt that we need to respect that process. The 450 farmers that are being supported at the current moment are supported through CAS. So their performance is supported through the CAS program. Hence, we've not put them into this strategy. We've only given the background of the framework of the program that we're intending to apply, but we also have to ensure that the issues of police that are in there are properly reported once the police has been approved.
What you just alluded to before is something that doesn't come regularly here, which is the agreement we have with FAB Index, which was a 1 billion rand agreement for supporting smallholder farmers. And we concluded that agreement, and AB Index has supported about 350 smallholder farmers in the grain sector, specifically on wheat and barley. So there has been pretty much good progress there. And that agreement, we have to make sure that it happens between us and TKI. The rest, we are doing it within the purview of the CAF and the other funds that we have. Each program has got about, in 2017, the president announced in SONA the 450 to commercialize, and each program has got 50 of those. KZN has almost met those, Western Cape has almost met those, and we are now focusing on other provinces, and we are trying to put funds together, so that's why it's good speech to policy, to ensure that we actually cover the commercialization of those farmers. The idea is to move that farmers from primary production to secondary production to complete the value chain. That is the objective we're trying to achieve here. But we need to develop a very solid policy called commercialization of that farmers. What does that mean? And bring mechanization and other policies towards that. And that's the next thing that we're going to do.
I have to apologize to Jefferson, I was here today, but I feel frustrated. Both of you are new on this. I'm coming along with this portfolio for the last 5 years. My question is, what policy, any policy, has been finalized by these two departments so that we can tell farmers this is the way we're going?
Chairperson, thank you. Maybe just to add to that, I'm also feeling frustrated. I haven't been here long, but continually we hear when it comes to blended finance and commercialization of emerging farmers and the whatnot, we just hear we're in policy development stage, but we don't actually have something tangible. We don't know how far in the policy development stage we are. What are we doing? And then maybe, Chairperson, just to go to the presentation, on page 3, it says, now that the funding tools are in place, and in brackets it says, blended finance model is set, the department will engage further with AB InBev on projects to be done. But we've just heard that blended finance is in the policy process yet. It doesn't have funding tools in place yet. Unless I misunderstand that. So really, Chairperson, I just need clarity on that, because then this one speaks against the previous presentation, and I don't know what's going on. Really, Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Well, I think the legacy report also spoke to this issue of the department not actually moving to finalize the issues of development, which is a very good aspect, because I think most of the programs cannot keep because policies must be. Can we get an undertaking, Chair, in terms of when will, how soon can those policies be completed? And I want to go to this SAP. Have you been on the ground seeing the implementation of the SAP in the work? I have been there. I know it. It is implemented before the SAP in there. It was SAP. It was implemented through, in the way I come from, it was implemented through AgroMart, which were the implemented agents. After AgroMart, there's now FarmSol, that is the implementing agent on behalf of the of SAP in the current. Now, you know, we come here at this great presentation on government logos and say key highlights. I can tell you from where I'm coming. There are no highlights. Well, I know them. They will call me maybe after this meeting and say this and this, but there are no highlights. This issue of SAB InBev is not a highlight to farmers there. Farmers are seriously not if they're not getting any profit on their produce. I asked them, there's somebody by Uzoko Nansen. I asked them a question to say, when does the subject determine its price? It says the price of barley is 4,200 per ton. And when you sell it to a farmer, you give a farmer 400 and almost 600 rand less. And you can't explain to the farmer, where is that 600 going to? Now, farmers, where I come from, they normally do plant. They are not making any profit, and we can't allow for some of these things to come and appear on government report as a highlight. This is not a highlight, especially to smallholder farmers where I come from in the Northwest Province. There's no such. Maybe before you come bring some of these things here, Chair, you must go to check them there yourself and check the situation on what is happening. It's a serious problem. It's unfortunate we'll not be able to engage further. Because there are no policy, this and that. But I must say, Chair, I just wanted to put this. Last week I was told by the others, saying that we saw you there saying this and that. But I said this, what is the problem? And I think maybe the understanding thereof was a mistake, because the issue is that implementing agents that you say they are not the actual people that are doing the implementation. They are not on the ground. They come and give you reports that are not in sync with what is happening in the ground. The same issue that I made with L1 said they are not on the ground. We know L1 through I forgot that Peter you that one. Yeah. And they are not on the ground, and they come right to you, and you come to Parliament and report it, and we're not attacking you. I'm not attacking you. I'm saying this is not a true reflection of what is happening on the ground.
Thank you, Honorable Masal.
Thank you, Chair. I don't want to raise two issues. One, by the end of the financial year, the department will not have that in all time. That's the first important issue. We must expect that. Secondly, DG
with all due respect, can we get an indication when will this policy be finalized? Because this depends on that particular thing. We can't commercialize when there's no gender finance. It's quite impossible. It's highly reliant on it. What about civil labor? What about our farmers? All we want to know, how long will this policy be finalized? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Personally, I'm not much worried when, because there has been a proclamation and maybe there has been a urgent need for the farmers, maybe something comes shutting implemented, and then while they're implementing, we find that there's still a policy. But then we should hurry to make that policy, because it seems now that we need to talk about the socialization policy as well. But the first one for me was on that page 3, on that slide 3, nearly the last bullet, or the last bullet, where you were saying, now that the fund is full, that it says. When I went through that sentence, I immediately felt that I would have said, now that the concept of the blending finance is in place, because we have just concluded that we need a community policy rather than saying it is effective.
Honorable Tapper.
Thank you, Chair.
The honorable member seems to now look at me as they raise hands. Honorable Tapper, and I didn't see they keep looking, but they don't feel that. So let's give them a chance so they don't feel left out. Honorable Marco.
Chairperson Lino, I was thinking that we'll load the presentation by the government on blended finance, but wanted to request the government to make sure that the development of the policy is in place by next year in February 2023.
We should blend that finance more. We're dealing now with commercialization program. Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I've raised my hand earlier before you come to your program. Chair, I need a clarity actually on e-commercialization. When the DJ was mentioned that out of all the provinces, 50 farmers are targeted, as the president announcement of e-farming. Now, Chair, I wanted to check Ubuntu. Based on this document, will it also cover what Honorable Mutweti has raised, that Mutweti said you are going to, I'm not sure whether I will be using the correct word, you know, you are the primary farmers to secondary farmers. Is it only those that you have within the department, or you will also be looking from those that are owning the land but they need finance? That's the chair. Quick key highlights. In one of your key highlights, it says AB InBev has targeted to invest $626 million by end of 2019. We are towards end of September 2019. That is only 2 months left, if not three. I'm counting half of December. How far are we in achieving that if we still have an issue of the policy? All of those can change.
Honorable
Tata. Finally, the department will have a policy on this one. And I'm happy for the province. Because if you don't see the province, it will be themselves. They started 2017 with this commercialization of farmers contributing for sure about 50 million per annum for all this program. And Chair, one of the key issues that made
lack of support sometimes, or you don't take support. The very same issue here for the national that don't come to the party because they don't have a policy. Now I'm happy because they're going to have a policy. My thing to check on your policy vision, this when it started, or like it started, it's focusing on crop farmers, their livestock farmers. Because for sure, even your value, whatever, speaks to that. Now, livestock farmers, not into, there's not only crop. Because then you were easy to be identified and easy to be assisted. Chair, I would also request that for sure the 450 that has been identified through provinces or by provinces, if we could just cushion them to be a cohort so that I know that the 3.9 billion announced is on a phase, like in for a certain term, it's not like a once-off payment. Let's take this cohort, yeah, 450, so that at the end, if it's 3 years or 4 or 5 years, we could be able to say, here are the farmers that we commercialize. That would be my input, but looking that we lack in monitoring, we will have to strengthen that, and that should be clear in your policy. How are we going to monitor that? Moreover, we're going to work with Land Bank, and my input chair is limited because this is the issue why we want Land Bank to say to them, how are you going to work with us to realize this goal? Yeah,
the
other
one. Honorable members, DG, if we may look at what you mentioned, what was submitted to the government. The issues here that I guess need to be cleared. The committed 1 billion over 5 years, when was it committed? We're talking about 2017, that's when the program was initiated. And if you are then speak to the targeted 621 million by end of 2019, rightfully so, as put by Honorable Chair, 2019 is completed. How far have we been able to dispense of this investment, which we had a target of 621 million? We speak of investment in 2017, 2018, created 5,142 jobs and supported 351 emerging farmers in 2017 and 684 emerging farmers in 2018. Now in 2018-2019, since we say that these funds will end on 2019, how many jobs have we created? How many emerging farmers have been supported through this program? It will be important to also not leave this hanging, so that we are able to give ourselves time in terms of the drafting of policy and its conclusion. So it's very important to us that we gain some form of understanding. When will the Land and Finance Policy concluded? When will the commercialization program policy concluded? So that we can then be able to speak directly to a policy that exists. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think that this gives me an opportunity just to first, let me start with Madam Stein. And Madam Stein speaks a language that we have been here for long. And really, if you are right, that you don't understand CAF, and you confuse CAF with many financial advisors, that you thought that we are going to take CAF and everything and bring it together. It's not what we did. We said CAF is comprehensive agricultural program for smallholder vulnerable subsistence farmers.
it doesn't go anywhere else at the point in which we're having it. The finances were that we're talking about. We're talking about job funds and all those types of things. So, blended finance has nothing to do with cars, has nothing to do with giving, has nothing to do with agriculture. I think that we did present several times in your term. And I want to emphasize that that was don't forget yourself, but it should be what I'm saying. The second one, and I need to emphasize it, well, it worries me as a person who comes from this side. We presented the comprehensive producer development policy. We have got the 7th version, and it was presented in this parliament, and you were part of it. And it went on to talk about mechanization, commercialization, blended finance. It brought all of them together. That policy is what is holding us. It could not pass laws, don't make comments on it, parliament make comments on it. So the reason we have not come to a conclusion is because the 7th version must be again presented here, and you must say yes to it. We should improve blended finance. So with every due respect, assist me. You are frustrating me that I present and you deny it with me, and you are angry with me. And now I go back home, I don't know what to do. I request you, your frustration, to be the one that is directing to where I must go. That's the second. The third one is the fact that we said there was no blended finance, there was no commercialization when I came here. Nothing that could have been cut, we would have been presenting to this committee cut, we would have been presenting to Lima, could have been normal. There could be no frustration, no vote would be frustrated. When we came in as farmers, we came in and said, where are the black farmers going? What is happening with the funding? We then introduced the concept of commercialization. I did that. And we went against the blended finance. The only thing that was fought when we pushed it, I pushed it, specifically went to the president's office. We have been
talk to the chair.
Okay, sorry, chair.
The emotions come from the chair, not the member.
Okay, sorry, chair.
Someone that is very angry, someone that is can blame the chair.
Okay, sorry.
Not the member. The member's duty is to ask a question and you answer to the chair.
Okay.
So
my apologies.
So that we avoid the dialogue.
Okay, sir.
As
so,
a department, you talk directly to the chair.
Apologize, sir. My apologies. So we then came up with this program. There were non-existent in 2017. Non-existent. Cars, Ilima could have been storage goods, everyone there. But there is chance farmers would still be fighting today. Farmers would still have no future seed and primary sector. The third one, and I want to respond to that question. I wish the honorable member chair could have gone to see what's happening in KZN, what's happening in Western Cape, and more important, could have gone to the launch in Caledon last week and see how black farmers were given certification with regard to the productivity they had, and see what is happening there, the mechanization they had, and then say, this is not right. It's a good thing to hear that is not happening in Caledon, because we are going to investigate. That's the program that we went. I beg to give. We were part of it. They have bought tractors, they have bought everything. 690. They bought about 40 million or 60 million or so. I'm not sure. They built a center in Caledon. It's called the Model Center for Development. ARC, our ARC is particularly there, where they are taking the best brains that can make these productive. The reason they are picking a rich wage is because we call them high value. In other words, they bring more margin compared to the cost of production. So in a way, therefore, if you sell wheat compared to selling maize, you get more money out of wheat from an export standpoint, as our president has spoken about an export-led agriculture. That's the same thing we did with beef. We went to the Chinese, now we've got a contract. The major people of ours are exporting to China. These are the initiatives that we brought here. And Chair, I'm saying therefore, we are trying our best to make things work. And I can assure the member that success we will. The only thing that we are doing, and I want to continue to make sure that this committee is aware of it, that developing the comprehensive producer support policy has been going through Parliament, which includes mechanization, commercialization, blended finance, and all those programs. Once Parliament agrees and adopts that this policy is finalized, blended finance, we went with, there is no contradiction, we went with it until we found fraud. We pushed it. When we found that people wanted to keep the money, we stopped. Then the area that I did not answer to, and I think we have got the answer for, is what happened with the appropriation of 2017, 18, 19, which is here. And I think we can answer that, and I can give it to you. And we know that there were those that were approved by the land bank before us we got involved, before we got involved, which used the same time. And I think after the land bank, we shall be able to give an answer to this. But that we are moving to with these new programs and new initiatives, I would like it to be encouraged. Because we would like to take these farmers to the next level, as it's done by Brazil and others. And it's there for sometimes we rush the programs and the policy is not there. It started in 2017, latter part of 2017. We are now in 2019. And so the 2019 year. So really, to develop a policy in those 2 weeks, I don't think it's something that, is not something that we can do in 2 weeks and finalize. But we do understand the agenda that the honorable members are putting, that let this policy be finalized. Just we've got farmers that are crying there. They want this money because it's almost 3 months. We want to do it. We also want to include farmers who are struggling. And I think the point that the honorable member mentioned makes sense. But with the thing from a transformation standpoint, the money that we have in the interim, we want to use to uplift all these farmers. Because the GD is up to, we don't have to spend this one. Is just the GD that we have, 172 and 152. We just want to see if we cannot assist for that development. But I think going forward, the point is taken that we shall assist you. The remainder of the money that is there, we were told and informed by the CEO of India that they want to build a mechanization structure in KZN where they will have a huge plant, where they have tractors and all the things that help the farmers grow and use that center for the black farmers of KZN and Western Cape and other places so that they have got input that they have made these farmers not to be productive. So that's the mind, and they are advanced in doing that check. When we ask them, how far are you? They say they are advanced. With respect to jobs that they have created, we'll look at them. But in that feature, there is a board that comprises us and comprises BGI and comprises AB InBev that looks at the progress here today. We can provide that information. But the initiative of AB InBev, the initiative of blended finance, the initiative of commercialization must be loaded, must be something that can be appreciated, that manager came up with. There was nothing like that before. We had comprehensive producer support. We're giving money, throwing 7 billion everywhere. And we're throwing GMA everywhere. And we came up with the initiative. And I think that's something that this parliament should appreciate. Otherwise, managers are going to be scared of coming up with new ideas. Thank you, Chair.
These are things that we want to do over time. Now,
you have brought back a DG about to now we launched the comprehensive rural development program. The biggest thing we spoke of, if you remember, and today we come from an oversight in KwaZulu-Natal. Mayor says to us, what are you doing on this CRPG? In fact, I haven't been here for 8 years. I hope it's not going to happen in Caledon, that we are told that we went there with the minister, or the president there, with the deputy minister. We went there, had cameras, and put on a good show, then disappeared. 500 million was spent in a year. That is, you know, yes. We've been there. I would regret that these policies the department is developing will end up like white elephant in the form of CRT. Because this is the progress that we are creating, and this is the frustration that is coming out from communities. Today you speak of this model. You have come back to us to say that it has failed. These are the findings, it has collapsed, we have abandoned it, so that we can tell South Africans that this program has failed. You want to move on like it never happened. How many CRPG projects did you speak of around the country? Please. Now, I'm talking about one side, 500 million. And some of these concepts, I see them exactly having been in Moyesh. The women project planting vegetables there was supposed to be the biggest thing, biggest intervention, women empowered, created jobs, they are selling to foreign markets. Now you say that our people are exporting red meat to China. What people? How many of those people are exporting to China? Now in October, the committee is doing an oversight of, so we are invited to China. We call it a study talk. It will be received by our colleagues in the People's Republic of China. I'd like DG, before we depart, and on this one we will say that by end of September, finish us with these people that are exporting to China. What quantities are they exporting? What form of meat is it? Beef? Is it mutton? Lamb? What are we exporting? Because on the other end of it, our markets are collapsing. The poultry industry says we are dumping chicken from Brazil and China. Can't survive. Yet the department is telling us of a success story here. And these are the things that don't take for granted, utter them and think we won't follow up on them. This is work of the committee. We will look into these things and we will want to stand in the house. Want to stand in the house and say that I went on oversight and found the phenomenal program that the department is doing. They are unable to show us. We have only one successful case. Let us be able to applaud the work of the department. Make us believe us. You see, DG, you talk of blended finance in the exclusion of cars. 2 weeks ago, the general said that some monies were coming from CAS. So these things, messages can't be contradicted. We must speak one issue and we must stick to that. Can't be that 2 weeks ago, if we go into our minutes, we'll pick up that it was said here that the money is for planning and finance that come out of the cash.
I said when we started the
list,
we talk flat.
Not proper. I don't disturb you when you are speaking. I let you finish and conclude. Now I'm giving you input on the work of the department. And this is the frustration that are being created to the committee that you need to look into and assess. Not a competing issue that we want to outstand each other. No, this is what was communicated in a committee. And I say to you, if we go into minutes, you will find that 2 weeks ago, not long ago, 2 weeks ago it was said to this committee that some of the funds come from CAF. Now, it takes me to another different issue, and I want to put this to you because when we were dealing with the KZN issues found out, we never went into the issue of Westwood. Westwood, you speak of one household, 1 hectare. You speak of 11 million rand that was spent on Westwood, yet 1.6 million of that was for one household, 1 hectare. Did you reform that? There is no one household, 1 hectare program in Westwood. That money was put into RECAP and implemented a RECAP program. So if I'm to pose the question, the one household, 1 hectare fund, the 1.6 million specific on this, because there is in the paperwork, on the ground, there's no evidence of it. Those one household, 1 hectare programs don't exist. Last week I even went further to say that the department had a program in Zondolo Mbezo area. I'm from there. My community in Mbezo, other side of the river. Other side of the river is to, the headman is Makaura, but the chief is Uposi Esther. The one household hectares were fenced, all of them. They are fenced. But the fencing program, I told you, the fencing program, there's nothing else that has been done post-fencing. So these are the questions that we want to really understand. Give us success cases that we can be able to put to South Africans and say that this government is having an impact on our people. And I hope that the honorable members, we will begin shifting to problematizing the work we do, but to actually find these stories. What are we doing? How are we impacting the lives of ordinary citizens, ordinary farmers that are trying to make ends meet? The story of the Mtuno and Zondi family broke our hearts to sit there and say, this is a project put to them and this is a place to live. No houses. Now, you are the let's see here, you're listing out property. Yet, the money that you give them, you then want them to fix the houses that are yours. It contradicts what Tubaunda when you are saying here. The responsibility of maintenance of these properties is ours. You are utilizing the farmer's money to fix your own property. We would like these issues to be looked at so that we can be able to speak confidently on these issues and move together. And please, don't internalize these issues. I hear the bitch saying that he's frustrated, he goes home and can't sleep. We must ask these questions. We're all public representatives sent by constituents. And our people are saying, look into these issues. What did I say last week? You have a river valley catalytic program. I gave you all the 5 big rivers in the Eastern Cape that I know of. Mzibungu, Sisa, China, Mthatha, Mbashe, Kairi. Give me one project
in terms of the River Valley program that you have that is in these rivers. Because from where I come from, they are non-existent. And every member will then be forced to look into their own constituency. Let me take over from where the chairperson said, let me go and look at the rivers in my province, let me find the report. They are not coming through, not seeing the real work on the ground, but the frustration is to hear in the budget speech, you speak of a trillion rand budget, biggest in the continent. But how is it touching the lives of the people in the Republic of South Africa? How are we making change? How are we making sure that we are able to feed ourselves before we can even think about the frontline states in the SADC region, in the continent, and in the international global community? So, please, honorable members, let us park it here, and we will come back to this. But I just felt that we can't be taken with frustration. It must be known exactly the work of this committee and what we seek to achieve and what we seek to do. Without really impacting one person's life and putting challenges, it's the work we must do. We must ask this question. From Amazon says, I make sure we laugh when the sun sets, we leave, go 5 kilometers away, and our cattle are vulnerable. Someone can come here at night and load all those cattle and be there. This is us. This is government power. I want you to then reflect on these issues so that we don't just come and deal with papers, and we think that these papers make a difference. We must look into the issues, deal with the issues with dignity and in a respectful manner. Honorable members, with that said, can we deal with the last item on the agenda, which is the outstanding minute of the 10th of September. Prime Minister, okay, start.
I hear DG Paul Shabat is first to run to another page. Let us release so that we may be friends of the minute, but the rest of the officials are required to remain. So that when we adopt the minute, you know what is being adopted. So that tomorrow when we hold you on this minute, and say, but 2 weeks ago you said this, you know that this is a minute that were dealt with in the meeting. So let us proceed, honorable members, with page 1 on the minute. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5.
Thank you. Are there any matters arising?
implication. Yes, Honorable State, I was going to say page one. So if there is a page one, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. So if a honorable member can raise your hand on the applicable page and bullet point. So page one. Page two. Page three. Another board, Makati.
Thank you, Chair. On page three, I've noted, no, apologies, Chair.
Okay. No, it's all right. Nothing wrong. Self-correction. Page four. Page 5. Honorable
Stank. Chairperson Stank, you have the focus point under 6.10.
From the resolutions.
Yeah.
On 6.10.
Yes, Chairperson, before we move too long in a fast, we ask for a comprehensive NHO with specific activities in the landscape program and we see the country changes. My concern is if we look at that, it tells us nothing. Again, there's no budget, there's no specific. And if I can remember clearly, Chair, we were told that it's a big, thick document, but if you read that, it's got 10 names here and you know, the same name gets repeated under five districts or whatever. So, Chairperson, it's not going to help us if that is the kind of results we keep. And we need to work together from the beginning so that we don't get frustrated. So I just want to make an example that is not the perfect kind of example of people. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable State. Perhaps on this matter, Honorable Members, we can come back to in terms of what we may then want to follow up on DG. Maybe we should zoom into a certain period, whether it be 2018, 2019, or talk to 2017, 2019, and ask for the LANCAP programs that have been implemented. But you can't look into a whole departmental issue that dates back probably to 2003 to date. So we will need to, honorable members, in our own time when we write back to the department in terms of land care, be specific what we are looking for so that they can provide the detailed report on land care and the programs that they have implemented. Any other matters arising on the resolution? Honorable Maseba.
Yes, thanks very much. 6.1 on the SLA, I think if I recall the discussion that the presentation that was given to us was that there are MOUs and not SLA. That I think maybe needs to be corrected. There's requests for samples of SLA that have been signed with commodity groups, particularly for crop and livestock commodity organization, and it goes on 6.2. It talks about the SLA, but not the memorandum of understanding.
Thank you, Honorable Masipa. On our own deliberations, we have it as service level agreement, unless you are proposing a change to that. But this is emanating out of the meeting we had, and it's a reflection of the minutes of the 10th of September. So we spoke of a service level agreement. Are you then proposing that it should be changed to MOUs that have been entered with?
The understanding was that, Chair, that the MOU, there are MOUs that are existing between the department and the commodity group, not the SLA. So these are two different
Also assisting providing clarity on this. Perhaps if we change to page 6 and you look at the bullet number 6.23, we have asked that the department must submit to the committee the ARC analytical program platform and the MOU with the National Agricultural Marketing Council. Amen. Any other matters arising on page 5? Honorable Sidal.
You know, 5.7. I'm just raising this for the DG, so that when we ask in the next meeting, so we hope that the policy combination but in the next meeting when we ask it, I will say that the just hope that the
So just to be clear, because we're sitting with the officials of the department here, 5.7 reads as follows. There is no policy on beneficiary selection, and the department is currently developing a policy in this regard. Doesn't speak to time frame, so let's not jump into what Honorable Papa put in terms of a two-week deadline. We have requested the department to come back to us in terms of time frames on these issues. There are some issues in our deliberations that we defer to in 6 months' time. We want to revisit these issues. But there are some issues that they, on their own engagement with the portfolio committee, have said within a month, within 2 months or 3 months, we will provide. So we will look into those issues that they committed themselves to, and we will write back to them following up on those issues. And we move on then on matters arising, page 6. So I would like us to note, honorable member, particularly with the department, seated with us, 6.21. The expenditure reports for recap and one household, one hectare program. As I say, out of oversight, we found particularly in Westwood that there is no one household, one hectare program. Those monies were taken and utilized on recap. So, we would want to assess the committee that there is a recap and its own budget, and it is being implemented in this manner. There is also one household, one hectare program with its budget, and this is what is being implemented so that we can measure the success of the work the department is doing. That said, honorable members, there is no other matters arising. I want to take this opportunity to thank you all for having attended the Portfolio Committee meeting, as well as having had the department officials as led by the two DGs and all the officials from National Province that have come to be with us. As South Africa, we are a people under a dark cloud, having lost lives of many women and many children. I will request us to take a moment of silence, in particular in honor of the Deputy Minister that we have lost, the Honorable Babedi. So may we rise in acknowledgement of the Father.
thank you. Meeting is adjourned.